So follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand.
Oh,
no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Ow! My tooth fell out!
The coach says I can play shortstop!
I can be a deciduous tree!
You live for the first in your child's life. But how do you cope with the first that come after your child is diagnosed with cancer? CureSearch.org connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Less than 3 months until graduation. For St. Louis City High School seniors, it's high time to make decisions on your educational future. It is also high time to get your financial aid and application paperwork sent in electronically or by mail. Sending it in is the easy part. Filling out and completing the applications is the hard part. But you're in luck. For assistance in completing these forms, see your Educational Talent Search counselor in your city high school. Educational Talent Search is a free program to help you stay in school, graduate, and enter a college or technical school.
The Illinois Department of Revenue is making life less taxing for businesses electronically.
At tax.illinois.gov, you can register a business.
File and pay sales and use taxes.
Payroll and withholding taxes.
Gas and gas use taxes.
File returns and reports for cigarette, liquor, and telecommunications taxes.
And there are many more online and telefile services available free from the Illinois Department of Revenue to make your business life less taxing.
Learn more at tax.illinois.gov.
Sometimes those who need flu vaccine most can't ask for it. Is your child 6 through 23 months of age? If so, influenza can put your baby in the hospital as often as it does seniors 65 and older. That's why health officials and physicians recommend annual vaccination for all children aged 6 through 23 months, as well as all children older than 6 months who have a serious medical condition like diabetes or asthma. Health officials also recommend influenza vaccination for everyone in close contact with children younger than 24 months. If you're a parent, brother, sister, grandparent, caregiver, or babysitter, that means you. Influenza and its related complications can lead to hospitalizations and even death in children. It's very serious. So are we. Learn more about influenza immunization. Talk to your doctor today, because your baby can't. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and American Academy of Pediatrics. Visit nfid.org or aap.org.
The Wake Up Call wants to make you a winner, and here's how. Every day when you hear the sounder, be the third caller, and you'll be registered for our Friday Because We Care giveaway. Each Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be choosing at least two names from those registered. The winners receive a Because We Care package, which might include a book by a recent guest, a coffee mug, a t-shirt, or other assorted goodies. You must pick up your package at the WGNU studios on Union within 7 days. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of the Wake Up Call family, where all you have to do to learn and win is listen.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air of the brothers. Help me, sister.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equality.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. That's who this is. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My goodness. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. Does anybody out there, is it just me? Did anybody, does anybody out there find it terrifying and maddening? It's an interesting combo. Terrifying and maddening. That as we approach the third year anniversary of our preemptive strike against a sovereign nation, thousands of Americans' lives later, tens of thousands of Iraqi lives later, an incalculable amount of damage to a nation, dollar damage to a nation, the incalculable amount of history that is forever lost as a result of our daisy cutter bombs, bunker busting bombs. We've destroyed history. We've destroyed physically a nation, and we're still not winning. We fought a nation with no navy, no army, no air force, and we're still not winning. It's like an attorney going into court against a guy who's not represented by a lawyer, and the guy without the lawyer wins. That's not supposed to happen. It's designed not to happen like that. But does anybody find it maddening and frightening, terrifying? That on the three-year George and Dick not-so-excellent adventure, that they're asking for, can I have some more, sir? That George W. Bush is talking about a preemptive strike on Iran. A preemptive strike against Iran. You believe that? You believe that? Undaunted. You know what? You know, you say undaunted, I say crazy. Okay? The Associated Press reads, undaunted by the difficult war in Iraq. No, you just crazy. There is not a fine line between fearlessness and crazy. The guy who doesn't have a gun and runs into battle with people who have guns, he's not fearless. He's crazy. And isn't that an interesting word to, because what's the phrase? George doesn't have any skin in the game. He just pushing buttons, giving orders. George Bush doesn't even feel he has any skin in the game in the Katrina aftermath. How he feel like he got anything? Undaunted? What you mean, undaunted? No, you just crazy.
Undaunted by the difficult war in Iraq, President Bush reaffirmed his strike first policy against terrorists and enemy nations today and said Iran may pose the biggest challenge for America.
Excuse me, baby, I just have one question. Excuse me, and I don't mean no harm. But you a lie and the truth ain't in you. You a lie and the truth ain't in you. Bush said that Iran may pose the biggest challenge for America. No, stupid. The biggest challenge for America is the mess you got us into. No, stupid. The biggest challenge for America is the trillion dollar debt that you got us into. No, stupid. The biggest challenge for America are all of the seniors that can't get their Medicare prescription drugs because of the insane, non-workable failure of a plan that you are bankrupting our country with. No, stupid. The biggest challenge to America is the joblessness. It's the economy, stupid. Ain't that some stuff? He wants the, you know, with an approval rating of 33%. And more Americans than not disapproving of this war, you are crazy if you think that the American people will be tricked again by Iran. And you know what? I don't care if you make another 9/11. It ain't gonna happen. People are war weary. Your own party don't like or trust you anymore. In a 49-page national security report, Boy George said, diplomacy is the U.S. preference in halting the spread of nuclear and other heinous weapons. If necessary, however, under the long-standing principles of self-defense, we do not rule out the use of force before attacks occur. Oh, baby, this is just so stupid. This is so stupid. It is not self-defense if you strike preemptively. self-defense occurs after somebody's hits you. It is not self-defense to strike preemptively. The long-standing principle of self-defense. We do not rule out the use of force before attacks occur, even if uncertainty remains as to the time and the place of the enemy's attack. Well, sweetie, you've demonstrated to the world, to God and everybody, that your boys, your team, your mental ability, none of you can provide evidence of an enemy's attack. You were wrong, so wrong. No, you weren't dead wrong. Thousands of others were dead wrong, have been made dead wrong as a result of your shenanigans. His report is titled The National Security Strategy. What you want to bet? I'll give you a nickel. You think the D student has even read the report? It's 45 pages now. It's much, much longer than any Dr. Seuss book. It's 49 pages. What do you think? The C students read this report? Bet you nickel, he ain't. Bet you nickel, he ain't. Mm. Mm. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. Whoo, you need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. My show is archived on White Rose Society.org. These are amazing times. These are amazing times. On the third anniversary of the war in Iraq, the strategy of the Bush administration is to roll out a new preemptive strike policy against Iran. What y'all need to do is to embrace and understand the world that you find yourself in, the world that you're living in. Embrace and understand the world that you find yourself in, the world that you are living in. Whew. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Liz Brown.
Hi, Brother Al, good morning.
You know, I won't be precise about the years, but it's between 60 and 70 years ago, Liz, we had another man marching on this world. He practiced genocide, racial hatred, and intolerance against another group of people in our world. We have to be very careful of what this little man is trying to do. And if they don't listen and believe in what you're telling them, Liz, just wait till they reintroduce the draft by the middle of this year. You know, history has recorded a man like George Bush. So if
the draft, well, Brother Al, the draft won't occur till after the election.
Oh, okay.
It won't occur till after the election.
Okay, I'll give it that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he's been here before, Liz. Mm. Have a nice day.
Take care of yourself. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, and this is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We got business to tend to. Stay with me.
Para donde vas? Para donde vas? Para donde vas? Para donde vas? Donde vas? Para donde vas?
Cha-cha.
Para donde vas?
Oye,
¿para dónde vas?
Si vas al baile, baila conmigo. Si vas al baile.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. Eastbound 44 from 141 Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Northbound 55 from 141 to Lindbergh is on the move. Northbound 270 at 44, no problems to report. Eastbound 40 from Chesterfield Airport to Mason looks good. Eastbound 70 from 370 to 94, no problems to report there. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain all the way into New Florissant is on the move. Eastbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the PSP, you can expect slow traffic. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge, look for no problems to report there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede Landing looks good. Northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge is on the move as well. In both directions, Skinker at Forest Park Parkway is closed due to Metrolink construction. There are detours posted at this hour. North Mason at Olive, there's a report of an accident. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through March, purchase 4 tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive 3 complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Much colder today, mostly cloudy, becoming partly sunny by this afternoon, a high in the mid-40s this evening, partly cloudy, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low around 30. Saturday, mostly cloudy throughout the day with a high in the upper 40s. Saturday evening, mostly cloudy with a low around 30. And then on Sunday, mostly cloudy still with a high in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 38 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 37, both under clouds. The wind chill out there makes it feel like it's 29, so if you're heading to the bus stop, bundle up. That is a look at this hour's traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. More with Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
It's tax time. Where are you going to go to get them done? Only one place. Richard Smith's Tax Service, 367-1282. Why? Because he's honest. Because they're dependable. Because they're respectful. And because they have a check cashing place right there. You can cash your check right there at 1408 North Kings Highway, Suite 113A. He's been there before the other guys got here, and he'll be here after they leave. Richard Smith's Tax Service, 367-1282.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
What is a community? It's friends, neighbors, co-workers, the people we work with, the people we share our world with. Sodexo is a community. It's a community of more than 100,000 employees and the 6 million people we serve every day. Sodexo is a community of people committed to improving the quality of daily life in St. Louis. It's why we partner with local minority-owned businesses, support the Gateway Classic with $50,000 in scholarships, and provide grants to the Martin Luther King Jr. Essay Contest and YMCA tutorial programs. It's why we collected nearly a quarter of a ton of food for the Kirksville Food Bank and support programs like Habitat for Humanity. Sodexo is part of your community, providing services across America and right here in St. Louis. Get to know us at SodexoUSA.com.
The Wake Up Call wants to make you a winner, and here's how. Every day when you hear the sounder, be the third caller, and you'll be registered for our Friday Because We Care giveaway. Each Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be choosing at least 2 names from those registered. The winners receive a Because We Care package, which might include a book by a recent guest, a coffee mug, a t-shirt, or other assorted goodies. You must pick up your package at the WGNU studios on Union within 7 days. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of the Wake Up Call family, where all you have to do to learn and win is listen. Real life. On the cutting edge, it's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
don't know how you met me. You don't know why you can't turn around and say goodbye. All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me.
You won't find nobody else like me. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
D.
In response, to continue with what Brother Al was talking about, yesterday you were talking about hating on your stuff,
mm-hmm.
the cars and the stereos.
Mm-hmm.
The other tyrant, Hitler, hated the Jews because in spite of many things, the Jews were very successful in many areas, and it was easy to demonize them because of their many successes.
Well, and the whole thing about the cops and taking people's cars,
hating on
people's stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's just hating on people's stuff, and the rage that goes through people, the rage that goes through institutions like that. There are a lot of dead bodies in the wake of that. There are a lot of destroyed lives in the wake of all of that. There are a lot of families torn apart as a result of that rage, hating, and also the ability to carry a gun and have impunity with it.
Uh-huh. In the New York Times the other day, the issue was raised about the slow USA response to helping the Jews in Germany during that period.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
Okay, thank you, Dr.
All right
Brown.
Now, thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Liz.
Arlene.
Hi, calling about two things real quick. One, I just saw on the news this morning that the police commissioner has been asked by the mayor to reconsider the residency issue regarding civilian employees.
Well, and this is Francis Slay's boy.
Mm-hmm.
Francis Slay pushed for this guy to be the chairman of the police board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's bunk. That is absolutely bunk. It is. Do you know what that's going to do, Arlene? I know you know, but for everybody else out there, what that does is when you let these civilians move out of the city. A friend of mine was telling me the other day, she's been watching the parking lot around the city, more and more Illinois plates and stuff, people getting all these jobs and getting out of Dodge at night. You let these people move out, what's to stop the firefighters from moving out? What's to stop the city employees from moving out?
Well, to tell you the truth, some of them are going to be living out of the city legitimately because a lot of them already are.
Mm.
We know they are. Then the other issue, real quick, for young men out there, this is something that goes contrary to probably the way you were raised and I was raised and a lot of people regarding young men having children, you know, and they're not married to the mother and they were encouraged by the family, you know, to give that baby a name, get on the birth certificate. Well, now, when a young man signs that affidavit to get on the birth certificate, he has only 60 days to go back and challenge it and remove it. If he does not, and I know you used to do cases for juveniles,
mm-hmm.
after 60 days, it is now it's a legal presumption. You know, I mean, it's not a presumption anymore. It's considered a legal declaration regarding paternity, and it's very hard to overturn.
Yeah.
So I would encourage, and again, this is something contrary to the way, you know, my family raised young men. If you have a child and you're not married to the mother, don't put your name on the birth certificate. Wait. Please have DNA. I just spoke to an attorney who spent years with child support enforcement. He says, I'm going to tell you the truth. There are probably 30% of guys out there paying child support
for children.
Who are not biologically theirs. Now, sometimes it's because these guys don't follow through and take care of their business as far as opening their mail or, you know, having an address where they can be reached. But a lot of them, you know, in the throes of, oh, I'm a daddy. And I understand the social worker comes around before the baby's even dried off. you know, you want to sign this form, and that's because the state can then get you if that mother ever goes on aid.
And here's the other piece of it, too. There are so many more punitive things that happen to men as a result of child support than there ever used to be. You can be put in jail for it.
You can lose your license.
You can lose your license. You cannot get a job.
Right.
Because you're behind in child support, so the very first thing that you need to do is to really make certain that the child is yours.
So, again, I know this is not the way you were raised, okay, but we need to change that whole dynamic because, of course, also the way we were raised, girls at that time kind of like did everything. They didn't want to get pregnant. Now, you know, unfortunately, I hate to say this, but if a young man has something going for him and some who don't have anything going for him, you know, it's like, well, let's have this baby. So don't find anything until you've had the, I don't care if you say the child looks like you. There was a young lady who had had a child by her putative father's brother.
Mm.
And so the child did look like the quote-unquote claimed father.
Mm.
Another had a child, and these two guys were best friends who happened to look alike.
Mm.
Another judge told me a man had 3 or 4 children. He only thought one might have been a question mark. The other children said, well, we'll go along with you. That's when they were still actually drawing blood for DNA instead of just swabbing your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So the older children just told the younger kid, well, come on, we'll do it too so you won't be scared. Well, it turned out none of these children, this was within a marriage, none of these children were his. The judge said this man stood in the court and boo-hooed. And
cried like a baby. Cried like a baby.
DNA, you can say it, but it's better to be safe than sorry, because men, you could be made to pay child support until that child is 23, not just 18,
23
if they go to college.
Wow. Thanks for that, Arlene.
Take care.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Hey, I was just wondering, I was watching Democracy Now! Last night, and they were talking about the unionized janitorial force in the University of Miami, where I can't remember her first name, Shalala. She was the director of Health and Human Services under Clinton administration, and they were just talking about how, you know, she is not supporting these unions to increase the living wage from $6.40 to a much more preferable union wage, and the same company, Unico, is at Harvard, and Harvard has forced them to up the living wage and offer them affordable health care.
No, the Harvard students forced Harvard
yes,
made Harvard
right.
do that.
You're right. You're exactly right. They talked about the, you know, the strikes and the things that the students
Jesse
know,
Jackson. Jesse Jackson also went down there. A lot of folks went down there. The Harvard was forced to do that.
Right. And I just found it interesting. You know, they talked about how she has this 9,000 square foot home and his 29-foot yacht. It just seems like...
Why are they talking about her things?
I don't know.
Why are they talking about her things? I mean, I don't know. She's a woman of African descent, right?
I'm sorry?
Is this a woman of African descent?
She didn't appear to be to me. They showed a picture of her.
Uh-huh.
She seemed to be a white woman, but I don't know for sure.
Okay.
Her last name is Shalala.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if she's of African descent or not, but it just seemed to me that the rich people in this world, in this country, just seem to be like kind of like a Marie Antoinette. They want to tell you to eat the poor people, to eat cake, and don't want to allow them to rise up and have the same opportunities that they take actually from them.
All right. I got you. Thank you, Orlando.
All right.
Thank
now.
You so much. Have a great weekend.
You too now.
Taking a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. Get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. Stay with me.
Elusive for so long. Freedom's mine today. Gotta step out on faith. Time to show my face. Procrastination had me down. Look what I had found. Strength, courage, and wisdom. It's inside of me. All along. Strength.
register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. Yesterday, the Senate agreed to raise the ceiling on the national debt to almost $9 trillion to stave off default on Treasury notes. This move will let the president continue to fund the war in Iraq and pay for his fight on terrorism without raising taxes or cutting prominent domestic programs. The bill was sent to the president for signing, and that represents about $30,000 worth of debt for every person in the United States. Congress has now hiked the budget deficit four times for a total of $3 trillion since President Bush came into office. And Dateline Detroit. More gloomy news out of General Motors this morning as the world's largest automaker revises its profit and loss statement for last year. GM says the new figure is about $10.6 billion in the red, and that's $2 billion larger than the previous estimate. Most of the higher loss is due to its reliability for parts supplier Delphi Corporation's bankruptcy filing, which is going to cost the automaker $3.6 billion instead of a previous $2.5 billion figure. Plus, the restructuring charge is turning out to be higher than previously thought, and that includes costs to close plants by the end of 2008. Delphi is the main parts supplier for General Motors. It was spun off as a separate company from GM in 1999, but the automaker could still be liable for as much as $12 billion worth of benefits that were promised to Delphi workers. Delphi is likely to ask a bankruptcy judge to cancel all of its labor contracts at the end of this month if there's no agreement reached to cut its labor costs, and there could be a large job action by its workers if that happens. General Motors sold the second highest number of vehicles in its history last year, about 9.2 million, but it still lost money because poor sales in North America wiped out profits made everywhere else in the world. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else are you going to go this weekend? It's the weekend. Liz Brown rules, it's shopping time. You get the trifecta of shopping at 3425 Union Sears. I'm talking about great location. I'm talking about great prices, great deals. Not just great prices, but great deals at this Sears. And great customer service. That's the trifecta of shopping, and the weekend means shopping. Get on over to Sears, get your shop on. Tell Jerome Williams, I'm Liz Brown, and I told you to.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle, Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger on AM 920 WGNU, the station that discusses what matters the most to you. Join me from 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday.
What you need to know.
Wake up call.
When you need to know.
You
a winner. And here's how. Every day when you hear the sounder, be the third caller, and you'll be registered for our Friday Because We Care giveaway. Each Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be choosing at least two names from those registered. The winners receive a Because We Care package, which might include a book by a recent guest, a coffee mug, a t-shirt, or other assorted goodies. You must pick up your package at the WGNU studios on Union within 7 days. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of the Wake Up Call family, where all you have to do to learn and win is listen. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I don't want no gold watch for working 50 years from 9 to 5. Oh, while the boss is guzzling champagne and I'm telling beer and some dive. But I want to be happy and free, living and loving for me. I want to be happy and free, living and loving for me like a natural man.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yeah, I have two things I'd like to run by you. What's the status on the automobile ignition test?
Emission tests, I know that they're still, that they went to folks up in Jefferson City. They wanted to make some changes, and I don't think that they did. I think they were unsuccessful.
Okay, so that won't be taking place in the next few months.
That I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, another thing. This police board, do you think that St. Louis would ever get that board that the alderman voted for?
What board did the alderman? Oh, you mean the oversight board?
Yes.
Well, the next step in the march towards the oversight board goes to the board of police commissioners to vote it up or vote it down. As long as I'm not going to ever say no, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
But it is going to be very challenging because we don't have local control of our police department.
Yeah, and we don't appoint those people.
That is correct. The governor appoints those people, which is insane. Nobody else. There are only two places in the United States where that happens. That's us in Kansas City.
And then the governor has to approve of it too, right?
The governor appoints it.
I mean
in terms of the oversight board. No,
yeah.
It doesn't take the governor's approval. It just takes the commission's approval. And then it comes back to Slay could decide not to sign off on it. He could veto it, and he could win his veto. And if he doesn't like it, he should veto it. But I bet I know that he won't have the guts to veto it. He won't have the guts. He'll take it to the police board and have them vote on it.
Okay, thanks.
All right, you're welcome.
Bye now.
454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
You know, you were talking about the child support and that kind of thing. You may not have been living in the same. Matter of fact, you may not have been born when they started this thing around here of if a girl was 14 or 15 and she had a baby, she could have her own apartment. And that was the breakdown of the family then. And she could have her own apartment, and especially in the projects, you know. So they had their own apartments, and this started breaking down the family, and the girl didn't have to get married and all this kind of thing. Well, now they have come back with something else to put another burden on the family, and this is if the young man signs. And like you say, he doesn't know it's not his, and anything could be happening. Too many things have been encouraged to break down the black family, especially in this city, as I have noted. And so I would suggest to parents to talk to their children, their girls and their boys early. 7 and 8, not too early to start to talk to them about sexuality and what happens and how it can destroy their lives.
All right. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Earl.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Did you hear a comment that Julius Hunter made about the Citizen Review Board?
Tell me.
He said something about this. People in the community want to make the good guys look like bad guys. So, I mean, don't expect much from him.
Don't expect anything from him.
Yeah. Exactly.
Anything from him. People in the community. Now, who the heck has he sat down and talked with?
Right, exactly.
You know, he went on that board, and first thing he did was to vote to let civilian people move out, disparage the city, and move out of the city, but keep their city paychecks.
Exactly. Okay.
All right. Thanks for your call. 454. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? He hadn't talked to anybody. He hadn't talked to anybody. Yes, that shows you what kind of reporter it was, don't it? What kind of reporter are you to have an opinion like that and you haven't sat down and talked to the folks? Yeah, it shows what kind of reporter you were. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Mildred.
I want to say this. I would tolerate no one speaking against Donna Shalala. When she came to the Clinton administration, Liz, she's of Lebanese descent. She came from the university community. She left the administration to go back to the university community. She was a doggone good head of health and human services. She did not let anybody trample over Social Security people. I know that because she helped me on many occasions to get what was rightfully mine. And I think she was the best we've ever had. Like you said, why are they looking at her stuff?
But here's the thing. The question is that why isn't she in support of a living wage for the custodial people at the universities? Universities, particularly universities like Harvard and these well-funded universities, mm-hmm. pay the lowest wage people awful, awful wages. We had kids sitting in here at WashU, had them on the show of the awful, awful wages that they pay people when they have all kinds of money to do otherwise.
Okay.
The question should be, or the question to me is, if her record is as you describe it, then that seems like a disconnect, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, and I would have to hear some more on this.
Okay, and if you have access to the net, I know Democracy Now! Is archived. And you can check that out, because if that is so, it's a disconnect. But if it is so, it is not defensible. It is not defensible for the universities to be paying their workers like that horrible wages.
You're right there. I don't have the internet by choice.
Okay.
But anyway, I'm going to be looking forward to listening and looking at more of this.
Okay. Thank you, Mildred. Listen, folks, Liz Brown in the next hour, of course, because it's Friday, it's Looking Black, where we take, go get African journalists from all over the world, bring them on and have them talk about the news that caught their eye for the past week. That's why we call it Looking Black. Our guest journalist in the next hour is Letitia Stills of BlackCommentator.com. We love BlackCommentator.com. I'm Liz Brown. Don't miss next hour. I'll be back.
You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how is this
matter? The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
The latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. When you go through airport security, they find the tweezers that you forgot to take out of your DOP kit back in 1999, but That's not the case with a lot of screeners. ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey has the story.
ABC News has learned the government accounting office tested airport security by sneaking bomb-making material through checkpoints at 21 airports and assembled them once they did. Michael Boyd, who runs an airport consulting firm, calls it a complete failure of the Transportation Security Administration.
A terrorist would have an easy way getting through security.
Boyd complains there has been breach after breach.
All we've got is a pointy object patrol. We do not have security.
The TSA, in a statement, says detecting explosives at checkpoints is its top priority. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
The U.S. and Iraqi troops are now deep into Operation Swarmer. It's the largest offensive since the start of the war. They're trying to flush out militants in Samarra.
So far, the U.S. and Iraqi troops involved in Operation Swarmer have encountered very little resistance. The military attributes that to the tactical surprise that they were able to achieve by bringing the troops in via helicopter. They've detained about 50 people so far. 17 of those have been released. The others are being held for further questioning, and they've also seized several weapons caches.
ABC's Jonathan Carl at the Pentagon. The search is on for a convicted sex offender. Kenneth Hinson's accused of raping two teenage girls in an underground dungeon behind his home in Hartsville, South Carolina. State Attorney General Henry McMaster.
They have received some tips, and they have an idea of the general area, but of course he's driving a vehicle. He has somebody with him. He's armed and dangerous.
Now, this is the scary part. When Hinson was released from prison 6 years ago, prosecutors requested that he'd be placed indefinitely in the state's sexually violent predator program. He wasn't. President Bush gets a St. Patrick's Day visit from the Irish Prime Minister. Many other people will spend the day eating things dyed green and drinking way too much. This is ABC News.
Sweet! I've been waiting for lunch all day!
Me too! Natalie, I'll trade my apple for your potato chips.
I don't know, Matthew, my potato chips for your cookie.
Let's see. Billy, what's that?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine!
Rich chocolate Ovaltine! An apple and my gummy bears for the Ovaltine?
No way!
Potato chips and grape juice for the rich chocolate Ovaltine?
No way!
Two cookies, bubblegum, and my Hershey's chocolate milk?
Double no way!
Aww! More Ovaltine, please!
Honey, I'm healthy. I don't need to sign up for a Medicare drug plan.
But Mom, Uncle Luis is just 71 and he takes so many pills. I mean, you never know.
I never thought of it that way.
The more you know about Medicare prescription drug coverage, the better it sounds.
Let me help you sign up. It's peace of mind.
I didn't do so bad with you, did I?
Mama.
For help, call 1-800-MEDICARE, go to Medicare.gov, or turn to each other. To avoid penalties, sign up by May 15th. Paid for by the Department of Health and Human Services.
Closing arguments are scheduled today in the court-martial of Michael Smith of Fort Meade, Maryland. He's the Army dog handler charged with abusing detainees at Abu Ghraib Prison. It's a DWI crossed with an SWN, swerving while naked. ABC's Chuck Severson explains.
An Italian police commander in Colono, Alserio, says he assumes a couple they pulled over must have been drinking at lunch, and then things got out of control. Officers had to tell the driver, who's 59, to put on his clothes before they could give him a ticket for drunk driving. In the passenger seat, they found a 70-year-old woman, also naked. Cops say the zigzagging car gave them away. Asked if they were married, the police commander says he doubted it. He said married people probably wouldn't do anything like this. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Need another reason to hit the gym? You'll be able to keep up with your kids longer, maybe even after they have ankle biters of their own. A new study says people who exercise on a regular basis well into old age don't slow down that much. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, after a surprise vote earlier this week, the St. Louis Board of Police Commissioners will hold an emergency meeting at 2:30 this afternoon. The topic of the meeting will be Wednesday's vote to waive the residency requirement for civilian employees of the police department. Mayor Francis Slay, who also sits on the police board and opposes waiving the residency requirement, had called for the vote to be reconsidered. Slay had left the meeting before the issue came up, and he says the board may have violated the Sunshine Law because the issue was not on the agenda. The investigation of University of Missouri basketball coach Quinn Snyder's resignation is finished and no one else will be out of a job. The probe began last month after Snyder revealed that broadcaster Gary Link informed him that he had the choice to resign or be fired at the season's end.
On the advice of his attorney, Snyder himself declined to make any further statements. Former U.S. Attorney Jean Paul Bradshaw, one of the special investigators, says the investigation could have been more complete with a statement from Snyder.
I think he, like all of everybody else, wants to put it behind him and move on. Hard to do better than the statement gave. So I don't fault him at all for not giving a statement, but it would have been helpful to go through some of these things and find out a little bit more about what was going on in his head from my perspective.
In a written statement, University of Missouri President Elson Floyd says the report validates Chancellor Brady Deaton's earlier finding that failure to communicate was a significant factor and confirms that he did not authorize seeking Snyder's departure before the end of the season. Finally this hour, it's Friday and it's the Lenten season, but Catholics in the St. Louis area will still be able to celebrate St. Patrick's Day with corned beef and cabbage. Both St. Louis Archbishop Raymond Burke and Belleville Bishop Edward Braxton have granted general dispensations allowing Catholics to eat meat today. Catholics generally do not eat meat on Fridays between Ash Wednesday and Easter. Both bishops ask that those who do eat meat today perform some other form of penance today or on another day of their choice. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Accountemps. Call today for the free 2006 salary guide providing the latest finance and accounting hiring outlook, the top skills in demand, and much more. Call today. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound 70 at 170, no problems to report there. Eastbound 44 from 141 to the Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Northbound 55 from 141 to Lindbergh is on the move. Northbound 270 at 44 and Marshall is slow. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge to 170 looks good. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79 look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Woods Mill all the way into Mason Road look for slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the PSB. It is slow. Westbound 64 to 5570 split. Look for delays there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split to Laclede Landing. You can expect slight delays. Northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge. No problems there. In both directions, Skinker Boulevard at Forest Park Parkway is closed due to Metrolink construction. Detours are posted. And northbound U.S. 61 at Highway A, look for an accident reported there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash, 100% of the proceeds, support health care services and disability programs for Illinois vets. Play Veterans Cash today because when you play, everybody wins. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, much colder, cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, high in the mid-40s this evening, partly cloudy till early morning, becoming mostly cloudy with a low around 30. Saturday, mostly cloudy throughout the day with a high in the upper 40s. Saturday evening, mostly cloudy with a low around 30. Then on Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-40s yet again. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 38 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting clouds and 37 with the wind chill making it feel like it's 29. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call wants to make you a winner, and here's how. Every day when you hear the sounder, be the third caller, and you'll be registered for our Friday Because We Care giveaway. Each Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be choosing at least two names from those registered. The winners receive a Because We Care package, which might include a book by a recent guest, a coffee mug, a t-shirt, or other assorted goodies. You must pick up your package at the WGNU studios on Union within 7 days. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of the Wake Up Call family, where all you have to do to learn and win is listen.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that? I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
In this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome to this week's edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call and my favorite time of the week, Looking Black. Our guest journalist this morning is Letitia Still. She is a journalist for blackcommentator.com, and she's on the faculty at George Mason University. She's joining us from Fairfax, Virginia. Letitia, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Where we begin, Letitia?
Well, I think where we should start talking about in terms of what catches my attention
mm-hmm.
is the acquiescence of the Congressional Black Caucus in terms of engaging in what I like to call a circular firing squad of their own members and being so willing to follow the dictates of Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, even if following those dictates are detrimental to, you know, their own fellow members of the caucus.
What is happening to them? What is happening to them?
I think as it's been put forth in previous issues of Black Commentator, there is a fracture within the leadership of the Congressional Black Caucus, and they fail to come together cohesively and act as a caucus on political and legislative issues that are relevant to the black community.
But I guess my question, another part of my question is that I realize that because I had the chairman on my show,
mm-hmm.
and the chairman said on my show when I was asking, you know, why didn't you take a principled position against the bankruptcy? Well, you know, we don't, that's not a position that we were going to take. Speak as a caucus on. We speak on the issues of, like, historically black colleges, the real safe issues. So, I mean, I get that they are not speaking collectively on that. But my question has there been such an infiltration? I mean, there are not that many Harold Fords in the black caucus. The Maxine Waters types out.
Number them, yes.
So how is it the Harold Fords of the Black Caucus can cause this kind of disruption of the Black Caucus?
Well, it goes back directly to the degree of leadership that the chair of the Black Caucus is willing to exercise.
Mm.
One of the things that I will give House Minority Leader Pelosi is that, for the most part, if she issues a directive to say we're going to stand as a caucus for or against a certain piece of legislation, she can pretty much whip about 85 to 90% of the caucus, including members of the CBC, in line to stand together as a united caucus. But what you don't see is Mel Watt replicating that as the CBC chair, and I don't want to lay it all on Representative Watt. I have to go back to at least two or three sessions of the Congressional Black Caucus when previous chairs failed to do the same thing. And then you could allow for an Artur Davis or a Harold Ford or a Sanford Bishop to come in and vote in very conservative fashion and vote for legislation that they know are going to have egregious effects on black communities, which they really have no excuse for because most of them represent majority black districts. So it's not, it's safe to say that if they get 100% turnout of the 50 or 60% district that is African American, they will always regain their seat in Congress. So it's not a matter of, you know, if I vote this way, they're going to vote me out next year or you know, or anything like that. So you really have to go back to how forcefully and how effectively the chairs of the Congressional Black Caucus are willing to provide concrete leadership.
And I guess one of the most striking examples of the failure of the Black Caucus is their response to Katrina.
Well, yeah, that was at most abysmal because because CBC members should have been taking the lead on
that. Absolutely taking the lead on
that. And so Pelosi decides she's going to punish Cynthia McKinney for participating in the Katrina hearings. And when I say punish, she has consistently refused to give this woman back her seniority since she's returned to Congress. And
that's a Democrat to Democrat?
Yes.
Democrat to Democrat, right?
Yes.
And black folks supposed to be supporting Democrats, right?
But, you know, I could go into a whole nother diatribe about whether blacks should.
No. I'm talking about what the Pelosi's of the world, their position is that black folks are supposed to support Democrats.
Yeah, without question,
you know?
And without, you know, and just be like, you know, sheep.
That's right.
And to that, I would say, you know, shame on us if we continue to accept that. It is getting to the point where there is an inherent fear on the part of certain members of the Congressional Black Caucus in terms of being willing to engage in the hard dialogue, which may result in confrontations with other members of Democratic leadership. And the other thing that I have noticed about Nancy Pelosi, and being from California, I've had an opportunity to watch her in Congress for the last 20 years. And it's only been since she's assumed the position of House Minority Leader that this metamorphosis has come about with her to where she's slanting more to the right. She was a very staunch liberal, though you couldn't probably get a more liberal white female member of Congress than Nancy Pelosi. But when she became House Minority Leader, there, you know, she kind of started shifting to the right, and she's really stealth in terms of telling the members of the Congressional Black Caucus support her, but yet she's not returning anything to them in terms of what do they get as a benefit of providing that staunch support. So you really have to kind of bring that out in the open and address that.
I mean, the Black Caucus should be holding a press conference about give Cynthia back her seniority.
Well,
they need to embarrass them.
Well, you know what happened? A journalist out in San Francisco caught Nancy Pelosi off guard and asked her, why won't you return Cynthia McKinney's seniority? And she really fumbled for an answer. She was like, well, Cynthia didn't, wouldn't, or
what?
She chose to leave. And then finally somebody had to tell her she lost in the previous election, and then she won and regained her seat. So she wanted to try to put out there that Cynthia hadn't asked for her seniority back. Most of us who know Cynthia, we know that that was not true. And so the other thing that I put out there was like, we need to cut Mel Watt off at the pass. I said, because what's going to happen here is if he starts getting a lot of questions and phone calls from especially women organizations, black women organizations, why haven't you restored this woman's seniority? The first thing he's going to say is, I went to Nancy Pelosi and she refused. And I'm like, cut that off at the pass. Unless you can provide a letter that shows that you're on record going to the House Minority Leader asking for her seniority to be restored.
You haven't done it.
You haven't done it. And then the other thing that you have to look at You know, being working in the field of equal employment opportunity and civil rights for the past 15 years, you always tend to look for patterns of what could be potential discrimination. You've had at least three or four white males who left Congress, you know, voluntarily or involuntarily, however, and then for whatever reason they won re-election back to their House district seats or their Senate seats with seniority restored, no questions asked.
Mm.
And you know, and I'm thinking to the other women in the Congressional Black Caucus, you better take that as a warning
in terms
of how they are treating Cynthia,
because
you could be on the receiving end of that.
And you
should lose your seat in an off-year election, and then you regain your seat, will your seniority be restored with it?
And if they're not giving in on an easy one like this, what you got coming?
Well, I think you see what you have coming.
Mm.
Because they can get up at the Congressional Black Caucus legislative conferences and have these, what I call dog and pony show forums. But when I don't see you en masse behind John Conyers with the Down and Street memo and all the other, you know, egregious lapse breaks of the law that has been done by this administration, I mean, and then a few of the same members of the Congressional Black Caucus were all too willing to get up on the floor of the House and chastise Bill Clinton for indiscretion during the time he was being impeached. And the other thing that I can see with the Congressional Black Caucus in terms of effective leadership, and again, it goes back to the chair, Cynthia McKinney, and I just really love her because she's a staunch heroine. She stands up for what is right.
She's fearless.
Even getting reelected back to her seat, somebody else would be like, I'm going to tone it down.
Mm-hmm.
She has not done that.
And she's fearless.
And she's very fearless. And so I remember when she was still in Congress, she got called on the floor of the House a black bitch.
No, she didn't.
By a representative, I think, from Mel Watts State, North Carolina. The representative was named Cass Ballinger. I think he's since retired. Now, my understanding of Robert's Rules of Order and parliamentary procedures, you can't do that in a formal setting like you're on the House floor having speeches or what have you. Does Cass Ballinger get censured or reprimanded? No, he does not. And then Mel Watt is on record in one of the local newspapers in North Carolina as defending him. You know, he was stressed or he was tired or whatever. And I'm like, even if you are an elected official, there is something that's just inherent within our culture as African Americans. No self-respecting African American man is going to sit by and let a black woman be called a black bitch without stepping up to defend her.
Because whoever said it's talking about your mama too.
Exactly, and I have to say, a pox on all the male members of the Congressional Black Caucus for that one, because even if Watt wasn't going to stand up, somebody should have said, hey, you can't do that, and I'm calling for a censure.
And think about the type of person that Cynthia McKinney is, because what a lonely thing. What a lonely thing to be standing up there and to be called that and to have to take that and not hear any of your people behind you rising up in your defense, and you still fight on.
Yes, you do.
And she still fights on.
You know, and I think the other thing with the members of the Congressional Black Caucus, with the exception of who I like to call the usual suspects, but they're the honor roll members of the caucus, which is Mr. Conyers, Bobby Scott of Virginia, Maxine Waters, Barbara Lee, who's my representative out in California.
She's wonderful, too.
Oh, I love her. And so, you know, you get those four or five members of the caucus. They usually can drive most of the consensus members of the caucus to see things their way. With, you know, and the individuals that you mentioned at the top of the segment in terms of how is a Harold Ford able to get into the Congressional Black Caucus and yet vote as conservative as Newt Gingrich and he's not called on it. When you see the fractures in that type of leadership, you're going to see an ineffective caucus. And it's very painful to watch because you know some of the members personally, you know their beliefs, their values, their goals, their morals, and for the most part, most of the Congressional Black Caucus really sought public office because they really were committed to providing the best representation for the districts they lived in. And I think for the greater part, most of them do that. But it falls under the radar because we don't have effective black radio that gives highlight to it.
Mm.
And, you know, and so then that way you can see an Archer Davis being touted as the new black leader in the Congressional Black Caucus because he's, you know, his corporate interests are going to make sure he gets elevated to that status.
And in terms of we've had reports come out on analyzing the Black Caucus. We have blackcommentator.com writing on this issue. I've done my little part on my show here. Are we seeing any change in behavior on behalf of these black congressional people on the Harold Fords out there?
Well, actually, with the second report card that came out, Mr. Ford, to his credit, managed to up that dismal score he got at the beginning of the session to about 30 points.
So it does make a difference.
So it does make a difference because I remember when that report card was being distributed because I was one of the people who distributed that report card at the first, you know, at Congressional Black Caucus Legislative Weekend. And Mel Watt called me a damn blogger, quote unquote. I hope that doesn't get you in trouble with the FCC, but I'm quoting him directly. And we were like, we're not a bunch of bloggers. We're a bunch of political activists. We come from all walks of educational backgrounds and life. And we're sitting here and we're watching you tout yourself as the conscience of the Congress, and it seems like the conscience of the Congress has been so seared that you don't even rate being listened to by your fellow peers of Congress.
Mm.
And then you have a minority House leader that you're all too willing to buy off on her directives, even to the extent that it's detrimental to your individual districts in terms of your representation of them.
He was actually kind of rude to you, wasn't he?
Well, I think every time he sees me now, he's kind of like, I better stay out of her way and not say anything. And, you know, or I better be polite and on my best behavior because, yeah, that did get reported.
Yeah.
You know, but it wasn't like I was, you know, it was a one-on-one deal. You know, when he exploded like that, four or five people that were standing by turned around like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And then the founder of the Congressional Black Caucus Monitor, he showed up, started grilling him. And then, you know, and then at that, he's like, okay, I got to go. And then I was like, well, wait a minute. What other opportunities do we have to get this forum with members of the Black Caucus to have these one-on-one conversations? And he pretty much said that what the individual members do outside of the legislative weekend was pretty much their own thing. But if we wanted to have any kind of forum or, you know, interface with any of the 43 members of the Congressional Black Caucus, you got to pretty much journey to Washington, D.C. to Congressional Black Caucus Legislative Weekend. Otherwise, you're, you know, unless you go back to your district and you have Congress members who faithfully have town hall meetings with their constituents on a monthly basis, you don't get that opportunity to talk to them face-to-face. And I think they also believe that the old adage of we're all African-American, and since we are elected officials, you don't have a right to criticize our performance.
At all.
You
don't even have a right to question
their
performance. It's automatically understood that they're working on our behalf, so shut up. Move along and get out the way.
And to that, I would say if this is your best example of good representation, I mean, I lived in two districts out in California with pretty liberal members of Congress, Pete Stark being one of my representatives for a time period, and then I moved back to Oakland, and then Barbara Lee became my representative again. And I can truthfully say whenever I've written their offices, whenever I've called their offices, I've gotten immediate responses from them within, I would say, anywhere from 72 hours to a week. I was not sitting out there hanging, wondering what the heck was going on with whatever issue I had taken to both offices.
Mm.
So if you're going to talk about, you know, being the Congressional Black Caucus that you know what's best for other African Americans, and this is the type of representation you are providing, I want my vote back.
Mm.
I mean, it's almost like saying I want a refund because there are other liberal members of Congress, maybe not, you know, African-American, but they are providing more effective representation for their districts because they take the time to find out what's going on in their districts. They find out what issues are relevant to their districts. What's going to, you know, what is going to impact my district if I vote a certain way? I know that this bill may be defeated on the floor.
Okay, but and Letitia, we have to take a break.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to Letitia Still. She is a journalist for blackcommentator.com, and she's on the faculty at George Mason University. She's joining us from Fairfax, Virginia. I'm Liz Brown. This is Looking Black. Stay with us.
St. Louis, 32 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by WWE. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to 270 looks good. Northbound 55 at Richardson 270, no problems there. Westbound 270 from Chain Rocks Bridge all the way in to 170 is on the move. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 all the way into Mason Road, look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound 5570 from the Exchange onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, it is slow. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split onto the Cleves Landing, look for delays this hour. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, it is slow in both directions. Stinker at Forest Park Parkway is closed due to Metrolink construction. Detours are posted. Northbound U.S. 61 and Highway A, that's out in Wentzville, there is an accident reported out there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by WWE. After 13 years, WWE is returning to NBC for a special night, as Saturday night's main event. Don't miss the biggest superstars of Raw and SmackDown in a pre-WrestleMania showdown tomorrow at 7 p.m. on News Channel 5. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly cloudy this morning, partly sunny by this afternoon with a high in the mid-40s this evening, partly cloudy until early morning, becoming mostly cloudy with a low around 30. Variable clouds throughout the day on Saturday with a high in the upper 40s. For Saturday evening, mostly cloudy with a low around 30. And Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 38 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 37. Wind chill out there makes it feel like it's 30. Stay tuned with more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call is up next. Looking Black continues. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Donna Jones, and your children's academic achievement will come first if you elect me to the St. Louis Board of Education. I'll work to lower class sizes, reopen alternative schools, and restore the 25 accreditation points that were squandered by the current board. I'll work to reduce top administrator salaries, stop the extension of the school day, and provide bus service to all students. Make schools lead safe and act on the Kerner Report. Most of all, I'll work to include parents, students, and teachers as part of the policy-making process. As a former parent liaison at Dewey International Study School, I know the importance of keeping communication lines open between families and school, because today's students have the potential to be tomorrow's leader. On Tuesday, April 4th, join me in putting students' achievement first. Vote for me, Donna Jones, for the St. Louis Board of Education.
Paid for by the committee to elect Donna Jones to the Board of Education,
Connie Davis, Treasurer.
You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri-St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU Wake Up Call host Liz Brown. This National Forum for Black Public Administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri-St. Louis and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
In today's world, all we need for light is the flick of a switch. But what did the pioneers do? Learn about candle making at the Rockwoods Reservation in Wildwood on Wednesday, March 22nd from 10 to noon. Learn how early Americans utilized animals in this skill and how the art has changed today. Each participant will make and take home a candle. Call 636-458-2236 to find out more. News to light up your life from WGNU.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Cafeteria line in Chicago. Fat man in front of me. He's calling black people trash to his children. Only trash here I see. And I'm thinking this man wears a white hood in the night when his children should sleep. But they'll slip to their windows and they'll see him. And they'll think that white hood's all they need.
Looking Black, the Week in Review. The Week Ahead, in Differing Perspectives, with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Looking Black. My guest journalist for this week is Letitia Still. She's a journalist for BlackCommentator.com, and she's on the faculty at George Mason University. She's joining us from Fairfax, Virginia. So what else caught your eye this week, Ms. Stills?
Well, I've just been really kind of watching to see, you know, the effects of the watchdog groups that have started watching the, you know, monitoring the Congressional Black Caucus. So I would really just say that that is really the only thing that has caught my eye. And in addition to that, there's a resolution that's out on the floor of the House right now. I think it's H.R. 1606, which is trying its best to curb free speech in Internet publications and internet blogs, what can be said online and, you know, with the publications. A lot of internet blogs are basically people around the country who are sharing their thoughts about whatever, you know, is of a concern to them. Mostly, some of them tend to be very political, and people should still be free to express their political views or, you know, their concerns or their concerns about legislation. And again, Nancy Pelosi is leading the charge on the Democrat House side to, you know, I guess, pass the bill so that it will impact and put these limitations on free speech.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Pelosi, the Democrat, is leading the charge for legislation that would limit free speech on the net?
Yes. Let me, what I'd like to do is, if I have a couple of minutes here, I'm going to try to pull up what came across the internet to me.
Okay.
Because they are basically, you know, blogs are trying to get behind, trying to make sure that this doesn't pass, because, you know, you're trying to stifle free speech in this country, and blogs are very, very effective in terms of where people get their information and get their news. They can't trust mainstream media anymore.
And also, blogs have been very effective in turning things into issues that may not have been such a big deal if a blogger hadn't got a hold of it.
Exactly. So when you see bloggers, you know, more prominent bloggers like Daily Coast, that has been, you know, tracking this issue for the past week, and you have other known, nationally known blogs like Atrios and America Blog, they've all been following the developments on this. And, you know, so it's very interesting because, as I said, there's a journalist by the name of Matt Stoller who is really bringing this home in terms of saying, look at what side our supposed Democratic opposition is on with regard to this issue, and look at how it's going to impact us. And it's really, so H.R. 1606 deals with campaign finance and blogs. And one of the things that Howard Dean was very successful at doing was doing a grassroots raising of campaign finances through using the Internet. So it appears that, you know, they're trying to do something with the campaign finance regulations, which also kind of involves a free speech issue as well, because some blogs will say, we endorse this candidate or we support this candidate, rate, you know, click here to send a donation to him through PayPal or something like this. And so what is happening here is, because the blogs have been so successful in raising money at a grassroots effort and fielding candidates who are willing to go up into campaigns and be oppositions to who should be in opposition. Say, like, you have Ned Lamont challenging Joe Lieberman.
Which is wonderful.
Then that primarily came as a result of the bloggers promoting who Ned Lamont was. And, you know, you had, you know, Paul Hackett came out of nowhere pretty much the same way.
Yeah.
So I think what you see with this bill hitting the House is that, okay, people are starting to recognize bloggers are very, very effective. The Internet is a very, very effective tool. And we are harnessing that tool to raise money for candidates that most people in the blog sphere feel this person is really going to represent my interests.
Mm.
So we need to do what we need to do to get them elected. And it's very interesting because you have, you know, you can have people from California, but if they believe in Paul Hackett, they're like, you know what, if that's one less house that's in the Republican column, let's raise the money and send him there.
So how do we know how this bill is going to work? What are some of the limitations that they're going to put on there? How are some of the ways that they would stop the blogs from being able to do this grassroots fundraising for candidates? And also, mm-hmm. if I might make be able to make another observation here, is that this appears also then to be a slap at the campaign raising ability mm-hmm. of Howard Dean, because the criticism that I've been reading that he's been receiving is that he's not raising the same amount of money that his predecessor did, and he's not raising it from the same, he's going around them and trying to raise it from different places, and so it, this might have two hits, that it gets at Howard Dean and it also gets at the bloggers.
Now what I'm reading here is that there's two bills actually before Congress. H.R. 1606, which would basically keep the Internet unregulated in terms of speech and content and things like that. Most bloggers want that. And we want to see the proof, you know, more participation in the political system is not a bad thing. You know, we want to make sure that if it's a bad thing to participate in the political system, show it before you start trying to regulate speech online. So then the second bill is H.R. 4900. It's basically a bill that could put blogs like Daily Coast, MyDD, Atrios, big blogs that reach millions of readers
Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to mm-hmm. take a break.
Yes.
And then when we come back, I'd like to finish this conversation because
mm-hmm.
this is very important.
Okay.
I'm talking to Letitia Stills. She's a journalist with theblackcommentator.com. She's on the faculty at George Mason University. She's joining us from Fairfax, Virginia. This is Looking Black. I'm Liz Brown. We're taking a break. Stay with us.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Detroit. A national men's group has filed a lawsuit in district court in Detroit on behalf of a man seeking to have the Michigan Paternity Act declared unconstitutional. 25-year-old Matt Dubay says he has been ordered to pay child support for an 8-month-old daughter he had with a woman. He said he dated a woman in 2004, and she told him she couldn't get pregnant because she was using birth control and had physical conditions that prevented pregnancy. After a few months, they stopped seeing each other, but she later told him she was pregnant. Dubay says the situation is unfair to him, and he has no options and is being forced to live with her choices. He said he told her he did not want to have a child, and she assured him there was no chance of that happening. He said he brought up the possibility of adoption after the pregnancy was announced, but she never did give him a definite answer. He brought his case to the National Center for Men in New York, and they agreed to take the issue on. Women's groups say the case is an attempt to leave the mother and child out on their own and implies that the burden of preventing pregnancy is all on the woman. The men's group says it is not seeking to force females to have abortions or give up children for adoption, but rather to have the opportunity to go to court before the birth and renounce parenting responsibilities as well as 18 years of child support. The basic argument is that a man should be able to choose to be a father in the same way that a woman chooses to be a mother, as provided for in the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
It's the weekend. It's time to get your shop on. Where are you going to go? You're going to go to 3425 Union. You need a TV. You need a big one. You need a small one. You need a washer. You need a dryer. You need a dishwasher. How about some tools? How about a lawnmower? How about a tractor? You go to 3425 Union because you get the trifecta of the shopping experience. Great price, great location, and great customer service. That's the trifecta. Get your shop on at Sears this weekend. I'm Liz Brown. Tell them I told you to.
Hi, this is Jamila Nasheed, candidate for state representative. Election time is in August, but tax time is now. So I have some very important information for our community. Did you know that under the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, senior citizens and disabled veterans can receive a check up to $3,000 or more? Monies that can be used for the high cost of prescription drugs, high utility bills, and the rise in price of gasoline. For more information about the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, call me at 409-5730 so that I can help you help yourself. If you have already filed your income taxes, don't worry. You still have time. Once again, call me, Jamila Nasheed, at 409-5730.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jamila Nasheed, State Representative for the 60th District. Felicia Brooks, Treasurer.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
The champions are coming. Direct from the 2006 Winter Games in Torino, it's John Hancock, Champions on Ice. Don't miss your chance to see all the newly crowned world and national champions featuring Michelle Kwan, Sasha Cohen, Johnny Weir, plus Irina Slutskaya, Evgeny Plashenko, Stefan Lombiev, Kenneth Velvet, and Ben Augusto, and many more champions. You've seen them winning gold, silver, and bronze, world championships, and national titles. Now, see the greatest figure skaters in the world live. The music, the lights, and the big production numbers that make Champions on Ice the only show to see. The champions are coming. John Hancock, Champions on Ice. Treat yourself and your family to this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see the best figure skaters in the world. Coming to Savas Center, Sunday, June 18th at 3 p.m. Call 314-241-1888 for tickets today.
Hi, I'm Donna Jones, and your children's academic achievement will come first if you elect me to the St. Louis Board of Education. I'll work to lower class sizes, reopen alternative schools, and restore the 25 accreditation points that were squandered by the current board. I'll work to reduce top administrator salaries, stop the extension of the school day, and provide bus service to all students, make schools lead safe, and act on the Kerner Report. Most of all, I'll work to include parents, students, and teachers as part of the policy-making process. As a former parent liaison at Dewey International Study School, I know the importance of keeping communication lines open between families in school, because today's students have the potential to be tomorrow's leader. On Tuesday, April 4th, join me in putting students' achievement first. Vote for me, Donna Jones, for the St. Louis Board of Education.
Paid for by the committee to elect Donna Jones to the Board of Education, Connie Davis, Treasurer.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, and differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Looking Black. I'm Liz Brown talking to Letitia Still. She is a journalist with blackcommentator.com. She's also on the faculty at George Mason University. She's joining us from Fairfax, Virginia. And Ms. Stills, what we were talking about this bill that Nancy Pelosi is backing.
Yeah, she is now she's Now, let me make it clear. She's fighting against the resolution H.R. 1606 because that bill would just basically allow for free speech and freedom of content on the Internet blogs as it currently stands. She is supporting H.R. 4900, which is basically, you know, set forth to be reform on campaign finance, another campaign finance reform type bill, but it's really slated toward trying to put big blogs that get a lot of visitors to their site out of business.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, and see, a lot of these blogs sell ads. A lot of current people who are up for re-election or running for, you know, higher offices are running ads on these blogs trying to solicit campaign contributions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you mentioned Harold Ford at the top of your segment. Now, it would be very ironic to find out that he is supporting this reform bill, H.R. 4900, and yet he's running an ad for his Senate campaign on Daily Kos.
Mm.
So when I see those dynamics working counterpoint to one another, that catches my attention because you cannot have it both ways. Either you are for freedom of speech and freedom of how the Internet is used to raise campaign financing for campaign financing for candidates that not necessarily be the anointed candidates from the Democratic congressional campaign chair or the Democratic senatorial campaign chair, who are Chuck Schumer for this, the Senate, and Rahm Emanuel for the Democrats, and what they tend to do for the House. And what they tend to do is basically try to eviscerate the need for primary election, which then takes away people's choices of, do I want candidate A or B at the primary level, and then, you know, elect a person fairly to get the Democratic nomination. What Schumer and Emanuel tend to do, they tend to recruit who they feel are electable candidates.
And it's also, it's from when they talk about what they feel, it's from their particular style of politics, their particular philosophy,
mm-hmm.
their middle of the road, moderate type of viewpoint, because they asked Paul Hackett to jump into the race.
Yes, they did.
And then they asked him to leave because they said the other guy, was it Brown, is winnable.
Well, the thing is that Paul Hackett, and people can take whatever position they want on Paul Hackett. I felt that the Democratic Party engaged in a circular firing squad and threw him under the bus.
Yes, they did.
Flat out, because you had no right to go and ask this man to disrupt his life to run for a Senate seat. And then once he jumps his hat in the ring, Sherrod Brown changes his mind
That's
and decides,
right.
oh, I want to run.
That's right.
And it was like, well, wait a minute. My understanding was they came to you and asked you to run for the Senate seat. You kept either refusing or waffling on the issue. So when they couldn't get a definitive answer out of you, they went to Paul Hackett and said, well, you know what, since he came this close to beating Gene Schmidt in a conservative congressional district, why not elevate him up here and let him run for the Senate seat?
And then to come back to him and say to step down, like Hackett said, I've been betrayed twice.
And then,
by my government and by my party.
And then not only that, but for Rahm Emanuel to try to come in and say, well, I recruited him to run for Congress.
That's a lie.
It's like I don't care whether you recruited him to run for Congress.
Well, I mean, it's a lie from the perspective of, you could have recruited him. He almost won. But then you signed on to him being asked to run for the Senate.
And then you change your mind.
And then you change your mind.
And then try to recruit him to run for the congressional seat as sort of a consolation prize for making him step down from the Senate candidacy.
And after he had given his word to the other people, he gave his word to the other congressional people running for that seat, I'm not going to come back and run for this seat.
And the thing was, Paul Hackett went to Sherrod Brown. If you're not going to throw your hat in the ring, I am.
Mm.
And he got my understanding was he got an assurance from Sherrod Brown, I'm not thinking about doing this.
Mm.
So with that and with, Schumer recruiting him to run, he says, okay, I'll throw my hat in the ring. And you notice how very quiet Schumer has been since this whole debacle became public.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
And blogs are a reason for that too.
Mm-hmm. And blogs are a large reason for that because I think I put a diary on Daily Coast talking about it, and I linked to an article that was ran in Salon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically was saying, you guys slung this man under a bus.
Yep.
And so, and it was really interesting on Coast because there were three or four people who posted diaries on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the comments ran, I think, 50-50 both ways. Everybody else was like, well, Paul Hackett shouldn't be like, I'm going to take my marbles and go home. And I'm
there's that, too. There is that, too. I mean, he should have done, there are people that take the position that he should have done like the chick did down in Florida and said, bump y'all, I'm running, and I don't care if y'all don't want me, bump that.
When you have had your own party publicly turn against you like that, start calling your campaign donors to tell
them to stop donating money. That's a fact.
And that's on public record.
That's a fact. Now, Schumer was behind the scenes making the calls, telling people he ain't the one.
And you notice that I'm a fan of The Daily Show.
Mm-hmm.
And Schumer was a regular guest on The Daily Show because he had these witty anecdotes and everything else. And I'm almost thinking, okay, John, when are you going to bring Schumer on your show and ask him about slinging Paul Hackett under the bus like this?
That's a fair question.
And my only thought on it is that maybe, nor in The Daily Show, they really don't tend to shy away from too much controversy because they have it in the context of, we're satiring this. So,
let's see if it happens.
Yeah,
let's
and so I would speculate that they may have called Schumer. They said, you want to come on here and talk about, what happened with this Hackett deal? And he probably may have said, I ain't going out there to talk about that. And I noticed that the mainstream media is also giving Schumer a pass.
They're
not asking him what happened with this.
And that has got to be our last word.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
I want to thank you so much. Take care. Letitia Stills, writer for theblackcommentator.com. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake up call. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. A new test of airport security may not make you feel too secure. The General Accounting Office says it smuggled various pieces of bomb-making materials into 21 airports with no problem. Aviation analyst Michael Boyd says that should be a wake-up call to everyone.
It's just blatantly misleading to the American public. Kicking down a cockpit door and running an airplane into the World Trade Center was implausible on 9/10/2001.
The Transportation Security Administration says looking for explosives is its number one priority. No casualties, a little resistance so far for Operation Swarmer, ABC's Ann Compton, with White House reaction to what the military calls its biggest offensive since the U.S. went into Iraq.
President Bush reassured his own political party it is significant that Iraqi forces are taking greater control.
As Iraqis stand up, we will stand down, and the troop levels in Iraq will not be decided by artificial timetables set in Washington, D.C., but by our commanders on the ground.
The U.S. credits Iraqis for the intelligence work leading up to Operation Swarmer. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Could be a day off in the sentencing trial of al-Qaeda conspirator Zakarias Moussaoui. That is, everyone except the judge. She's considering whether to stand by a ruling that the misconduct of a federal prosecutor tainted some of the evidence beyond repair. A convicted sex offender is on the run, accused in the rapes of two 17-year-old girls. Authorities say Kenneth Hinson attacked them in an underground dungeon behind his home in Hartsville, South Carolina.
It had a trap door, had a wooden ladder with four or five steps on it going down. It's 5 feet by 8 feet wide, wooden paneling with a wooden floor and about 4 feet tall with one light bulb down in there.
That's South Carolina Attorney General Henry McMaster. Police say Hinson left the girls in the dungeon and took off. The teens managed to break free. President Bush gets a visit today from the Irish Prime Minister. It is St. Patrick's Day. He'll also get a bowl of shamrocks from Bertie Ahern. This is ABC News.
It's Toyota's premier event going on now at your Toyota dealer. No matter what you're looking for, we've got your favorite Toyota models, including four doors, two doors, four cylinder, V6 and V8 engines, the latest in hybrid technology, and much more. Toyota's premier event is on. This is your chance for huge savings now. But hurry, you won't want to miss this. Toyota, moving forward.
This is a test of your cell phone. Does it look at you openly, answer you honestly? Or is it full of nasty surprises at bill time? Does it gloat because you're under contract? Maybe it's time for something new, something clear, simple, and uncomplicated. Net 10. At Net 10, there's no contract, no commitment, and one low rate, just 10 cents a minute, anytime, anywhere in the country. We're so sure you'll fall in love with Net 10, we'll give you 300 minutes free, a $30 value when you activate your Net 10 phone. So get to your nearest Target and partner with a phone you can trust.
The lines formed early at Sporting Goods in Seattle. The new Nike Air Max goes on sale tonight. We're told that only a couple hundred pairs are being sold, and the only place you're going to be able to get them is Seattle. Well, first it was Johnny Cash the movie, and then there was Johnny Cash the Broadway show. Now get ready for a book about the Man in Black written by his first wife. Here's ABC's Dave Schreiber.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine.
The woman who was married to country star Johnny Cash before June Carter, Vivian Liberto Diston, had a line she walked. She died last year, but before her death, she wrote about her life with Cash in a book called I Walked the Line. It's based on letters the couple wrote to each other before their marriage. A co-writer of the book says it reveals Cash's dreams and views on things like fidelity, alcohol, and faith. She says it helped the first Mrs. Johnny Cash find closure. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
St. Louis, this is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, several storm-ravaged Missouri counties are under a federal disaster declaration. President Bush issued the declaration yesterday for Christian, Hickory, Johnson, Monroe, Perry, Pettis, Randolph, St. Genevieve, and Saline counties. The declaration also makes some assistance available to local governments and organizations in several other counties, including Jefferson and Washington. Last weekend's tornadoes are blamed for the deaths of 9 Missourians, nearly 100 injuries, and the destruction of over 350 homes.
Sunday marks the third anniversary of the start of the Iraq War. Jean-Robert Legay-Fayou, a political science professor at St. Louis University, says progress has not been made in the last 3 years because we didn't anticipate the insurgency or a civil war. He says improvement in Iraq will depend on who takes over the government, and that the best way to improve things in Iraq is for the Shiites to accept that there needs to be a government where various factions are represented. Finally this hour, the Gateway City ranks at number 5 out of the top 10 cities known for migraine headaches. That's according to a new analysis based on migraine prescriptions per capita, as well as lifestyle and environmental factors known to trigger migraine attacks. Dr. Lisa Mannix, a headache specialist in Cincinnati, offers a few simple tips for limiting the frequency of migraines.
Having healthy lifestyle habits like sleeping regularly, eating regularly, and exercising, some people with migraine will need to take a daily preventive medication like Topamax to reduce their headache frequency and get more migraine-free days.
Cincinnati ranked as the number one migraine hotspot, and Canton, Ohio rounded out the top 10 list. More information is available online about migraines at www.mindovermigraine.com. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by WWE Saturday Night's Main Event. After 13 years, WWE returns to NBC for a special Saturday Night's Main Event. Don't miss the biggest superstars of Raw and SmackDown in a pre-WrestleMania showdown. Tomorrow at 7 p.m. on News Channel 5. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Eastbound 40 at 270, there's an accident blocking the right exit lane. Eastbound 44 at 141 and Watson, look for traffic to be flowing freely. Northbound 55 from Richardson all the way into 270, looks like no problems there. Northbound 270 from 44 to Marshall, however, you can expect slow traffic. Westbound 270 from Canal Bridge all the way to West Florissant, no problems reported. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, traffic congestion is cleared. Eastbound 40 from Boone Bridge all the way to 270, traffic is lighter than normal today. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and 170, look for no problems report. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Clayton Warson, traffic's lighter there as well. Northbound 270 from 40 to Ladue, look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from the exchange onto the PSB, look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split, look for slow traffic. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 onto Laclede's Landing, look for no problems there. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the ramps to the Poplar Street Bridge, however, you can expect some slow traffic there as well. In both directions, Skinker and Forest Park Parkway is closed due to construction. Detours are posted. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash. 100% of the proceeds support health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today because when you play, everybody wins. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly cloudy in the morning and partly sunny by this afternoon, a high in mid-40s this evening. Partly cloudy till early morning, then becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low around 30. Saturday, variable cloudiness, a high in the upper 40s. Saturday evening, mostly cloudy with a low around 30. And then on Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920, we have cloudy conditions and 38 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 37. The wind chill makes it feel like it's 31. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. No
shot and was killed tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how do you listen?
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
freedom. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. There's so much to talk about. I knew one of the things that, if you know anything about this, my show, is that you know how much I love the babies out here, how much time and energy and stories and people we bring to the table to discuss the issues that are confronting our babies, the young folks out here. And some of the challenges that if you're born in the in these times, in the 2000s, in the late 90s, you have issues that I never had when I was growing up. You have issues that confront you on a daily basis. And the only way that our young people are going to be able to confront and deal with these issues of consumerism, these issues of how do I make money out here in this world? How do I carve out a place for myself? The only way that they're going to be able to do that is if we teach them how to do that. It can be done. It's not overwhelming and it is not impossible. We have to give our children the tools that they need in order to make it out here. And one of the things I think that every generation has had a difficult time with, and people have a difficult time with, couples have a difficult time with, is talking about money. People do, it's just hard for people to talk about money. But the fact of the matter is that if you don't talk about money, you ain't gonna have no money. So you really need to understand how money works. You really need to understand how you get money. And given the Enron world that we're living in, given the WorldCom world that we're living in, you shouldn't be hanging your hat on any corporate peg and expect to have a future. You need to know how to start your own business. Carter G. Woodson said that. He said one of the things that our community must do is understand that your future is based upon your family's future. The generations of your family's future is based upon your ability to see entrepreneurship as opposed to working for someone else. You have to learn to see, okay, my mother is a works for other people. She's a housekeeper. The Carter G. Woodson taught us that the goal of you as a child is to figure out how to make that into the family business.
What do I do? Okay, well, maybe I'm going to go into making cleaning products because that's my family business. Maybe I'm going to go into running a business of people who clean houses. You need to, the first thought that we all need to have is, how do I start my own business? And because Enron and WorldCom has shown you, you can't count on them. And it's better to own. What do they say? It's better to own than it is to rent. So we need to talk about that. And I have a guest in the studio with me today to talk about a wonderful opportunity for you to help your babies, your children, and even you. I think something you can learn from. How to start your own business. And this is a wonderful program for young people. In the studio with me today, Robert McGee is joining me, and he is bringing a program to you, the Young Entrepreneurs Covenant Program. Robert McGee, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
First of all, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. I'm excited about this program. This is a program that will teach your children and your grandchildren how to be self-employed. And you say that the seeds of learning to think outside the box need to be planted at an early age. Talk to us about this program.
Absolutely. To veg you back on what you were saying about Carter G. Woodson, one of the things he talked about is that our kids are not being properly educated in school. The things that they're learning in school doesn't really prepare them for making a living, so to speak. The things which they're learning are things that other people want them to learn, but not things that would teach them to be independent on their own, basically to go to school and to get education and to work for someone else. But we need to change that mindset of going to school, working for someone else. We need to start thinking about ownership, working for ourselves as far as having our own businesses. As you were saying, if your parents are whatever job or housekeeper or whatever, you want to build up on that. You want to build upon that and go to school and learn more about it. If your father's a mechanic, you want to learn and carry that on. We need things that we can carry on from generation to generation. So what I've done, I'm starting from ages 10 through 18. Ages 10 through 18, and we're going to be teaching kids on how to become entrepreneurs. And we also will be teaching them about the consumerism that goes on. We want to teach them how to save their money. We have a curriculum already put together. And first, what we'll start off teaching them, we'll teach them about ethics.
That's so important. I mean, it's fabulous that the way that this program is breaking down, that the very first thing that you're teaching young people about is ethics. What are some of the components of ethics that you're talking about?
We want to teach them about honesty, about being honest. And what we're going to do when we do this, we're going to have like role playing. We're going to have different business situations. We don't want to just sit there and inundate them with a lot of
to lecture at them.
We're going to actually get the kids involved, actually have business situations and scenarios that we'll play through.
Give us an example of something that you're going to ask the kids about.
Okay, say for instance that if you're working at someone's house or doing something along that line, and it's time for you to get paid, but you know already you broke something in there in the front or knocked over something. Okay, and a person say, well, how did this get broken? And you'll say, well, I don't know, ma'am. It was like that already. You know, when I was a kid, I broke a lamp one time, and I put it back together. And my mother came in, and she knocked it over.
So the question is, this is an honesty, integrity type of, how would you respond in this situation?
How would you respond? And see, we don't want to just send kids out there and then get a lot of bad feedback about things that they're doing because our reputation is at stake and their future is at stake. Because we already have a stigma on us already about, you know, I don't want to deal with blacks as far as business and for one reason or another. So all of that, we want to start off by teaching about ethics, about honesty, about integrity, about fairness, and about responsibility and respect. You know, out there now, you can walk past a child and you'll hear him cursing. It's like you don't even exist. I stopped and asked one of them, I said, am I invisible? Do you see me? They don't respect the elders like they used to when we were coming up. But we want to change all that. And the way to do that now is to actually start them off at a young age, teach them, instill those type of things in them. Because all with the music and so forth and all this that they're being inundated with, the advertisements to buy different things along that line, They don't have it. They don't even know what it means to be respectful. It's just like if you're there, it's just like another child or a kid is around. Mm-hmm. They just don't have the respect they used to. We want to teach them about hard work. One of the things that, like, other people, our kids don't know nothing about apprenticeship. Like Carter G. Wilson talks about in his book, we know nothing about apprenticeship. We think that when we get out of school, we go work for somebody, we think we're supposed to make as much money as them as they do. Mm-hmm. No skills, no training, but we walk in the door, we're supposed to start off making top salaries. We got to teach them about apprenticeship. But in this program, in your apprenticeship, they will be getting compensated mm-hmm. for being in an apprenticeship program. We want to teach them about a positive attitude. You can see now when you go into different restaurants and so forth, the attitudes. I mean, you stand there and you look. I wonder how some of those people are going to even stay in business because the attitudes and the, I don't know why they're like that and so forth, I guess for whatever reason it may mm-hmm. be. But the attitudes are so bad, so it just really turns you off. We want to turn that around. We want to have them to have love in their heart. We want to teach them to have a positive attitude. Believe that they can. Not look so downtrodden all the time, mm-hmm. but be uplifted.
So, and again, for people that have just joined us, I'm talking to Robert McGee, and he has a program for your children of teaching them how to have your own business, how to, as you say, the seeds of learning to think outside the box need to be planted at an early age. Your program will teach children, your children or your grandchildren, how to be self-employed. And these are classes that are going to start on March 25th from 3 to 5 p.m. The number is 869-4222, and the classes are going to be at Afro World at 7276 Natural Bridge. So we get through the ethics part of the program that you're bringing to the young people. Then you get to something called team building. What is that?
Team building. What team building is, I see oftentimes that, well, we can't work together as a group. I thought about times that I tried to put programs together where to bring things in where I had a situation where I was going to pool together and buy hair products for cosmetology. We could buy from ourselves opposed from buying from the different stores and mm-hmm. so forth. And the problem we had, we couldn't work together. Mm-hmm. We were too concerned about who's going to get the money, what was going to happen to the money if we start putting in. So I want to try to stop that and start teaching the kids about how to work together collectively as a team. And work together as a team, what we'll be doing, we'll be coaching them along. You know, showing them different things that they can do and watching what they do and just actually basically coaching them.
Mm-hmm. And then there's also you bring back the role-playing component of it as well.
Bringing back most of it be role-playing.
And then also talking, communication, communicating as a group. What is that?
Yeah, communicating as a group, meaning that when they'll be doing different projects mm-hmm. together first as a group. Before they work as individual, they'll work collectively mm-hmm. and see how they can work together. Say, for instance, when they start working as individual for themselves, okay, what if I need something from a brother, sister that has something, I can communicate with them. I need, and they would help me. Mm-hmm. Help me lift them up, mm-hmm. lift each other up instead of pulling back down.
And how old are the children that you're looking for to be part of this program?
Ages 10 through 18. The way we're going to do it, we're going to work at separate times with the ages 10, 11, and 12.
Because there's certain dynamics that a group of 10-year-olds are going to have as opposed to the group of 18-year-olds.
It's going to have to be individual appropriate, child appropriate.
So, and again, what we're talking about this morning is the specific curriculum that you're going to be using when you have this program on March 25th from 3 to 5 p.m. at Afro World.
Right.
And the number, is there a number that people can call to get more information about this?
Yes, the number on there, 869-4222.
869-4222. So as we continue down this curriculum, there's also the piece that you're going to be teaching them, raising capital.
We're going to have a way apprenticeship program on how they can raise capital. Before they actually start their own businesses, they will actually have a situation where they will have things in an apprenticeship program, how they can raise money to start their business. Also in this, once they finish the apprenticeship program, when they finish, the ones that finish are required to work for 2 weeks with those that are coming through the program to show them the things that they learned, mm-hmm. that they learned on achieving or finishing the apprenticeship program.
Each one teach one.
Reach one teach one, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. Another thing we want to teach them, even when you're doing this, we have to always learn that they're going to learn, too, that they need to give back.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a very important part.
It is.
Actually giving back, because that you plant a seed. When you plant a seed, you nurture it and you grow it, and it'll come back to you.
There you go.
That's very important. We have to do that.
And all it is about teaching our young people, and giving them giving parents opportunities, grandparents opportunities to provide certain types of instruction.
Right.
You don't necessarily find a program like this in the public schools or in private schools.
Absolutely.
You don't find programs like this. And education of children is not just what they get in school, but you're always supplementing what they get in school.
Absolutely.
So this is a great thing to supplement the education of
Absolutely.
Our children. As we go down this curriculum, part of it is part four of it is starting a new business. You can teach them how to start a new business. What does that entail?
Okay, what that entails, once they finish the apprenticeship program, we have 23 different businesses that they can start. Child appropriate businesses.
I love these businesses. They're so, they're so cute. These are really, really, really cute. I like this one. Suds for Spot. Talk to us about that one.
Suds for Spot. What that is, that's a business where you have kids, depending on where you're city, county, whatever, where you actually. You bathe dogs. Some people don't hate doing that task, but actually, you can go out and you can actually
a child could go around in their subdivision,
right.
Go up and down their street. You're going to teach them how to have the business plan. You're going to teach them the ethics and the honesty and all of that. You're going to give them that skill. You're going to show them how to do a business plan. And what kind of business could a child have? Well, one way is washing the dogs in the neighborhood.
Right. Right. Absolutely, because like I say, all these businesses are appropriate for the age, depending on. And what we'll do too, we'll find out what it is that they like. They'll get a chance to pick, choose what they like. We're going to all these particular businesses that we have the marketing plans already laid out. We'll show them how to market, how to get the flyers. We'll show them the pros and cons and what's needed and so forth, how much money is needed to actually start the business. Because it's these children, it's really time for a change. Because
we need to give them some opportunity. To do some things, because
right.
that's our job. Our
right.
job is to give them opportunities, and sometimes some of the things that the children are displaying is a result of what we haven't done.
Absolutely.
We need to step up to the plate and, okay, we know more, so let's let our, because we've lived here a little bit longer,
right.
so let's give them some opportunities. I love some of these jobs that you have for them. We have the party time planner.
Party time planner. Some kids are excellent at setting up parties, where they can actually set up parties and have games and activities for children to have. Like a lot of parents, when they do parties, they don't really have games and things.
They don't know what the kids want.
But you got children that do know what they want.
And they can set up their own little business in their neighborhoods. When a parent wants to throw a party for their five-year-old, they need to contact Bobby down the street.
Right. And what we'll do, too, what we're going to be doing, we're going to be advertising this on the radio, the newspaper, on your station, for one, to talk about support these youngsters, because they'll have information, they'll have flyers and cards and so forth.
So they can have little radio ads for their little businesses.
Absolutely.
That's adorable. That really, really is. Oh, I love this one. Wrap it up, that they can be gift wrappers.
Gift wrappers.
And pet walkers. That's a
pet
business
walkers.
That they could start.
Mm-hmm.
Mother's helper, a garage sale assistant, a website developer, garage cleaning person. This is wonderful. These are great ideas. And the other piece of it that I really like is that you are going to... also talk to them, because part of being in business is figuring out what your passion is.
Right.
And so you're going to talk to them about seeing if you can take the passion that they have and put it into one of these types of jobs, or even come up with another job.
Right. Absolutely. Because this is just, it's 23 different businesses, but we're still open to have for other businesses. I'm sure. Because a lot of these I got from kids.
Sat kids down and you talked to them about it.
You know, I talked to them, asked my grandkids for one. And asked them about some of the things they liked. But some kids, I got some out of some books of kids' business that were started and so forth.
I think this is wonderful. Also, one of the parts of the curriculum, and I love this piece because there are adults, many adults out there really need to know about this. You're going to be teaching them how to manage your money.
Absolutely.
And what's that? What does that entail?
Teaching them how to manage the money, teaching them one thing like you and I were talking about earlier about the consumerism that we have going on in our neighborhoods. We want to teach them how, first of all, to pay themselves.
First.
pay yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we want to teach them about instead of every penny, like and money in our neighborhood goes at one time and then go right out.
Mm-hmm.
We want to teach them how to circulate the money our neighbor.
How it matters and how that works.
And how it matters.
You know, because
absolutely,
that's a wonderful thing. Yep. Also, you can teach them about savings accounts.
All right. Absolutely. We'll teach them about savings account. We're going to teach them about the different avenues of saving, not just basically putting your money in the bank and just drawing a few pennies off of it, but we're going to teach them about the whole gamut of savings, money market, so forth. We even have program, like I trade stock and
mm-hmm.
so forth. For the ones that actually go through the program, we actually have a set of words. We could actually teach them about learning about how to trade stock by actually
doing
paper trading. Teach them about investments.
Mm-hmm. And that's what my father did that when I was growing up. We were all part of the stock buying thing, and it's a habit that you keep all the way through your life.
Absolutely.
And the last piece of it I love is learning how to buy and why you should buy and sell real estate.
Oh, now that's for sure because that's another thing that I'm involved in is I buy and sell real estate. Oftentimes people think, well, I just have all my money sitting in a bank.
Mm-hmm.
You need to take that money and actually buy property.
Mm-hmm.
Buy you some property because there's value in property.
Mm-hmm.
Then buy some more property.
There you
because
go.
Equity builds up in their property and
there
so forth,
yeah.
opposed to just leaving it sitting.
Absolutely. So all of these things. This is wonderful. So tell us when this program is going to be.
This program is going to be March the 25th at Afro World.
And the number for more information is 869-4222, March 25th at AfroWorld from 3 to 5 p.m. And the number to call for that is 869-4222. Robert McGee, what final words would you give to a parent to tell them why their child or why they should be part of this wonderful, wonderful program?
Well, one thing I think about, first of all, is I think about the state our kids are in. You know, and it saddens me. It saddens me because we see the kids, they're walking around with shoes that light up and they walk. They're brain dead when they talk. They are tattoos on their behind, nothing on their mind. And they're wearing their pants sagging, brains lagging, caps turned around backwards, trying to walk forward. We want to change all that image for these kids. And you should get your kids out here because this is something that your child could pass on from generation to generation. And I challenge all those parents, you can get your child to baseball games and so forth, basketball games, which those are good things.
And
very important thing. But however, bring your child out and teach them something where they can actually pass this on generation to generation, as well as the parents can learn something.
Absolutely.
Because when we have these meetings, I encourage the parents to stay there. The meetings, when we start the training, it's going to be about an hour, hour and a half long.
Mm-hmm.
Parents can sit in and learn something with the kids.
Absolutely. And then take it home and practice.
Absolutely. The parents have to be involved with this.
Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to, after you get the kids in these programs and you get them through the I would love to have them come on the show and talk about their businesses, okay?
We most definitely would love to do that. Will.
So the number again is 869-4222, and it is March 25th from 3 to 5, Young Entrepreneurs Covenant Program. And how much is this?
It's free.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's free.
No, it's free.
Absolutely free.
All right,
free.
Then there's no excuse. 869-4222. Robert.
And in the words of Liz Brown, you got to get to me. You got to get to me.
Robert McGee, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right.
This is Liz Brown. We're taking a break. Stay with us.
St. Louis, 34 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sowers traffic and weather. The Sowers traffic is sponsored by Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion. Eastbound 40 at 270, there's an injury accident blocking the right exit lane. Traffic is backed up near Mason in the right lane. Eastbound 44 from 141, this is Watson, looks good. Northbound 55 from Richardson to 270 is on move. Northbound 270 at 44 in Marshall, that congestion has been cleared. Westbound 270 from the Canal Bridge all the way into West Florissant, look for no problems to report. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, that congestion is cleared as well. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and 170, look for no problems there. Southbound 170 at 40, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for no problems to report there. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split, nothing to report as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the 5570 split all the way into Laclede's Landing, look for no problems to report there. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street on the PSP is on the move in both directions. Skinker at Forest Park Parkway is closed due to Metrolink construction. Detours are posted. Northbound Telegraph at 255. There's an accident. Right lane is blocked and traffic is light in that area. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion. A woman's glow is beautiful. Now every woman can enhance her own glow with new Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion with skin brighteners. Visit Dove.com today for your free sample while supplies last. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly cloudy by the afternoon. High in the mid-40s this evening, partly cloudy. Until overnight, then becoming mostly cloudy with a low around 30. Saturday, variable clouds with a high around the upper 40s. Saturday evening, clouds again with a low around 30. And Sunday, still cloudy with a high in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are holding at 38 degrees. Lambert Field's got 38 as well, both under cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, this is Jamila Nasheed, candidate for state representative. Election time is in August, but tax time is now, so I have some very important information for our community. Did you know that under the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, senior citizens and disabled veterans can receive a check up to $3,000 or more? Monies that can be used for the high cost of prescription drugs, high utility bills, and the rise in price of gasoline. For more information about the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, call me at 409-5730 so that I can help you help yourself. If you have already filed your income taxes, don't worry. You still have time. Once again, call me, Jamila Nasheed, at 409-5730.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jamila Nasheed, state representative for the 60th District. Felicia Brooks, treasurer.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Donna Jones, and your children's academic achievement will come first if you elect me to the St. Louis Board of Education. I'll work to lower class sizes, reopen alternative schools, and restore the 25 accreditation points that were squandered by the current board. I'll work to reduce top administrator salaries, stop the extension of the school day, and provide bus service to all students. Make schools lead safe and act on the Kerner Report. Most of all, I'll work to include parents, students, and teachers as part of the policy-making process. As a former parent liaison at Dewey International Study School, I know the importance of keeping communication lines open between families and school, because today's students have the potential to be tomorrow's leader. On Tuesday, April 4th, join me in putting students' achievement first. Vote for me, Donna Jones, for the St. Louis Board of Education.
Paid for by the committee to elect Donna Jones to the Board of Education, Connie Davis, treasurer.
Who's the hero where you work? The receptionist that can balance 12 things at once? The whiz kid that can change a toner cartridge without making a mess? The assistant that finds everything you misplace? Well, now it's your turn. All you have to do is drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, and you could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. We'll draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and you'll be the hero of your workplace on Monday when we deliver a basket full of assorted goodies from Great Harvest Bread, Thomas Premium Blend Coffee, and WGNU Radio. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. Employees of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. So go ahead, be a hero. Visit the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store at 9449 Olive Boulevard. Leave a business card and that's it. You could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero.
sponsored by the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Rise up, oh. Rise up, oh. Everybody gotta rise up. Come follow me, rise up, oh. Rise up, oh. They see myself, got to rise up. You got to rise up, oh. Rise up, oh. Everybody gotta rise up. Yeah, you gotta rise up, oh. Rise up, oh.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920. That would be WGNU. And also, if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. Here's something I bet you didn't know. Here's something I bet you didn't know. And here's something I bet you're not surprised about. We talk all the time about, on this show, about the revealing component of Hurricane Katrina. It washed away a lot of artificial barriers. It left the world raw. You could see everything, warts and all. And what's fascinating about this particular storm is that it's still land-based. Katrina still continues to reveal, wash away, make things raw. And it's been over 6 months. There is a report that came out just this week, that this White House, this administration, these people have rejected hurricane disaster recovery loans at a higher rate than any other administration in 15 years. Do you hear what I'm saying? Business and home loan approval rates averaged about 60% after Hurricane Andrew devastated much of southern Florida in 1992. That trend of, and these are people like, okay, I need a business loan to start my business back up because I've been destroyed by a hurricane. Government, give me a loan. Government was approving those loans at a 60% rate. And it happened for 15 years until Boy George. After Hurricane Wilma surged ashore last year, the approval rate, these are low interest loans. These are taxpayer guaranteed loans. These loans come directly out of the Small Business Administration. You know what the approval rate after Wilma was? 15%. 15%. And the role of the SBA, that's the Small Business Administration, their only job is to provide assistance. They ain't approving loans for anybody. Let me just ask you this.
for the record, how quickly did Halliburton get yes on a no bid contract in New Orleans? How quick did they? There's a technical legal term that describes the quickness with which Halliburton got their stuff approved after Katrina. They call it lickety split. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We're going to take a break. Then you need to get to me. So let's do that. We'll take a break. I'll be back at you. I'll take your calls. I'll take your comments. And we'll handle our business.
Tula mama, tula, tula mama, tula, tula mama, tula, 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 tula mama, tula, tula mama, tula, tula mama, tula, 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 tula.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Miami. Former Secretary of State Katherine Harris says she plans to stay in the race for Florida Senate, even though she's showing miserably in the most recent polls. Harris made her announcement Wednesday night on the Fox News program Hannity and Combs. She said she's going to dump $10 million of her own money into the campaign, much of which was left to her by her father, who died in January of this year. Harris started to cry on the program when she said she was investing her father's money in the race as a tribute to his legacy. Harris has plenty of problems in that race. Donations to her campaign have pretty well dried up, and she's under suspicion over charges that she took shady money from the same scam military contractor who gave money to jailed former Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham. Democrats are said to be salivating over her announcement, as she is seen as being the person who chiseled Al Gore out of the 2000 presidential election. Harris is running as a Republican. And Dateline Baghdad. You probably haven't heard much about this story, but the military is using a number of remote-controlled robots in Iraq. These weapons are called SWORDs, which stands for Special Weapons Observation Reconnaissance Detection Systems. They're about 3 feet tall and are operated by remote control. The military says their main mission is to disarm roadside bombs, but they are equipped with 2 types of machine guns that can fire up to 1,000 rounds a minute. They've been in use by the Army for at least 4 years and reportedly have better accuracy in hitting targets than do human soldiers. Right now, a 30-pound control unit with joysticks, buttons, and a video screen are needed to operate them, but that soon's going to be replaced with a Game Boy-style controller that'll be used in conjunction with virtual reality goggles. The Army is said to be very impressed with them because these robots perform very well in hazardous environments. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right. Where else, where else, where else are you going to get your washers, your dryers, your refrigerators, your stoves? It's the weekend. It's time to go shopping. Get on over to your neighborhood Sears at 3425 Union. They have everything that the big Sears has and more. Because you can have the trifecta of the shopping experience right there. You can have great prices, you can have a great location, and you can have great customer service. Sears, 3425 Union. Get your shop on.
He says, yesterday this guy Todd told me to smoke some pot, and I did. What? Oh, then today Todd said I should try it and fit my fist into my mouth. It fits, but I can't get it out. I'm an idiot. That's what he said.
Live above the influence. Above them, above weed. And check out AboveTheInfluence.com.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
The Wake Up Call wants to make you a winner, and here's how. Every day when you hear the sounder, be the third caller, and you'll be registered for our Friday Because We Care giveaway. Each Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be choosing at least two names from those registered. The winners receive a Because We Care package, which might include a book by a recent guest, a coffee mug, a t-shirt, or other assorted goodies. You must pick up your package at the WGNU studios on Union within 7 days. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of the Wake Up Call family, where all you have to do to learn and win is listen.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
More than a tragedy, emotions be grabbing me. Plane fell from the sky, we trying to figure what happened. Burning churches, fearing God, who can be so cruel? We all ignorant to AIDS till it happens to you. Just be a man, make plans, listen to your voice. A woman's trying to make decisions, we should leave them a choice. Cause who are we to say who lives or die? Breathe or stop. All this judgments on other lives, ease to stop. What are we living for? Giving more back than taking. On my knees, still waiting for my own salvation. Now I feel abandoned, cause back you can and say I'm greedy. You can take my taxes, send me to war, but can't feed me. It's so easy to regret things after they done. Babies catching murder cases, scared to laugh in the sun. The tragedy is that we all need love and doses. In times like these, we feel closest. The good die young.
Ah, Tupac, tell it, tell it, tell it. You can take my taxes, send me to war, but can't feed me. Ain't that some stuff? Take my taxes, send me to war, but can't feed me. 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, good morning. To me, it seems to be sort of like I would consider a kangaroo court trial against the Kawi Musawi, because I feel that if an attorney, in this case the prosecutor, on the prosecutor's side, to tamper with a potential witness and contaminate the process. I don't know if it's a felony, but it should be a felony. But if it's not a felony, it should be grounds for immediate mistrial. I've heard no talk about a mistrial, and all the reports that I've heard, it's the news reports, I don't even know the attorney's name that did the tampering.
Oh, I've heard her name many times. I've also been told that she has been removed from her job. I've also heard on the news too that she has hired a lawyer. Her name has been out there. Absolutely, her name has been out there.
Well, like I said, I don't know her name,
and also it's been in print as well. This is a woman. And,
but is that a felony? It should be.
I don't know if it's a felony or not. What she did, I would suspect that there could be some kind of complaint, bar complaint,
mm-hmm.
made on her. I don't know. I don't know. But I knew that she. It's bad enough for her to have hired an attorney.
Do you think that would be grounds for a mistrial?
The attorneys have options. The attorneys can ask for a mistrial or not. I suspect from the part of the defense attorneys, with the fact that these witnesses cannot, the trial part is over. What we're facing right now is the death penalty component of it. So
right,
it's a separate trial.
Okay.
And from the perspective of the people representing Musawi, their perspective is that without these witnesses, the judge has already said these witnesses can't testify. The prosecutor can't make their case. The prosecutor has to make a connection, and those witnesses were the only ones that could make that connection. And without those witnesses, they can't make their connection. So the job of an attorney in the death penalty case is to save their client's life. So if those witnesses can't testify, then the jury can only make one decision from their perspective, and that is you can't give them death.
I know, it's a funny thing. After all I know of you've seen and heard and read and all you know, you still have some faith in the justice system. But
it's not a matter of faith. It's a matter, you asked me a question about whether or not the attorney should ask for or would have asked for or why they didn't ask for a mistrial in this particular case. And in every
I'm in the concept of the death penalty.
Well, no, I'm saying that the strategy, anything in a trial can happen.
Uh-huh.
But the strategy of the attorney is that if the person, if the state does not produce the evidence and their client gets convicted anyway, then they have a great case on appeal. So that's their strategy. Their strategy is that the evidence cannot be presented to make the prosecution's case.
Okay.
So a jury can decide that anyway, give him death anyway, but they have an appeal part. So that's their strategy, and that's a strategy that makes sense.
Okay.
Given what the legal system is, do I expect that this jury is, could this jury fine for death even though the prosecutor didn't give any evidence? Of course they can. This is America, and I suspect that they will. But the fact of the matter is that insofar as the rules are concerned with law and a strategy for an attorney to engage in, this is the best kind of case for a defense attorney to be in with your client in a death penalty case.
Okay, and if anyone knows the name of this attorney, I would appreciate it if they would let me know.
All right.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And I want to let everybody know that in the next hour we normally have Healthy Futures. Healthy Futures is not going to be joining us today, but that's okay. It'll be back at the same time and same place for next week. So Healthy Futures will not be with us, but the Because We Care package drawing will take place at 11:45. That's still on. So I'll be open for your calls, your comments during the next hour. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU, or it is 454-0400, or you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Don't forget that we have an election coming up on April 4th. It's a school board election in the city of St. Louis. If this election, if Donna Jones and Peter Downs are not elected in this, both of them, it can't just be one. It has to be both. And if they are not elected during this school board race, if Katie barred the door, it's done. The district is over. When you see Craig, C-R-E-G, $25,000 a month, $25,000 a month, superintendent of the St. Louis Public Schools, is trying to stuff another 100-plus children into Metro, killing the Metro program. Killing Metro, a school that has been recognized nationally, one of the top 50 high schools in America. And his plan, his action is to kill it dead. There is a reason for wanting to kill it, and the reason is this. If you kill the district, if you kill the schools, if you destroy the schools that work, that means that you can come in with any kind of theory, and people will try it because the district is toast. So what are they coming in with? They want a charter school district. How do you get that? How do you justify that? How do you argue for that? How do you get parents that normally were opposed to charter schools to support them? You destroy all of their options. You kill the Magna school program. You kill Metro. You kill Kennard. You kill all of the things that make the school district special and unique. You kill them dead. And then you say the only way your kids can get any great education is to come to this charter school. That's how you do it. That's what their plan is. They are murderers. They're trying to kill your district. And this election is one way to stop them. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me. I'll be back in the next hour.
say here that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
That matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albiner. And top of the morning to you on this St. Patrick's Day. There are events to mark the day nationwide. Some of the biggest, the parade in New York City and the parade in Savannah, Georgia. The White House is getting some visitors, meanwhile, straight from the Emerald Isle. Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
The traditional crystal bowl of shamrocks is being presented to President Bush by the visiting Irish Prime Minister. But there's another important addition to the celebration. Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams, who was not invited to the White House last year, is on the list too.
What would an Irishman think of the parades and the green beer that we Americans associate with St. Patrick's Day?
St. Patrick's Day in America or USA, unbelievable. You have a real party. This is party spirit here. In Ireland, we're a little bit less less party animals on this particular day.
That's Fergal Murray. He's the brewmaster for Guinness, which will probably be a very popular pick today. When you go through airport security, you tend to find that they tend to be very, very particular normally with you, don't they? They find those nail clippers you mistakenly left in your dop kit back in 1998. Well, somehow the Government Accountability Office managed to sneak parts of bomb-making equipment through the screeners at 21 airports. Aviation security Michael Boyd is not surprised.
The new federal security director at Newark, where our airplane was hijacked, he's a PR guy. He has no security background. What we have here is a bureaucracy that looks for pointy objects, not a real security organization.
The Transportation Security Administration doesn't agree. It says detecting explosives is the top priority of screeners. U.S. and Iraqi troops are deep into Operation Swarmer.
There have been no casualties, and there have been relatively modest weapons caches found. But the significant thing in this operation, military officials say, is that it is being led on the ground by Iraqis, and it is also an operation that has been driven largely, if not entirely, by Iraqi intelligence.
ABC's Jonathan Carl. More seeds tipping off today in March Madness. Memphis plays Oral Roberts. Villanova takes on Monmouth. This is ABC News.
It's Toyota's premier event, going on now at your Toyota dealer. No matter what you're looking for, we've got your favorite Toyota models, including four doors, two doors, four-cylinder, V6, and V8 engines, the latest in hybrid technology, and much more. Toyota's premier event is on. This is your chance for huge savings now. But hurry, you won't want to miss this. Toyota, moving forward.
This is a test of your cell phone. Does it look at you openly, answer you honestly? Or is it full of nasty surprises at bill time? Does it gloat because you're under contract? Maybe it's time for something new, something clear, simple, and uncomplicated. Net10. At Net10, there's no contract, no commitment, and one low rate, just 10 cents a minute, anytime, anywhere in the country. We're so sure you'll fall in love with Net10, we'll give you 300 minutes free, a $30 value when you activate your Net10 phone. So get to your nearest Target and partner with a phone you can trust.
The company that brought us the gun that won the West is calling it quits. Here's ABC's Aaron Kuchersky.
I've been riding to meet up with a man named Dutch Henry.
Jimmy Stewart pursued a Winchester 73 in the 1950 movie. The rifleman could fire his Winchester in 0.3 seconds. The factory in New Haven, Connecticut that produced the celebrated firearms will close at the end of the month. 19,000 people worked there during World War II, but the plant now employs 200 people, all of whom will lose their jobs. The city hopes a new owner will reopen the plant under the Winchester name, but it belongs to a Belgian manufacturer that wants to discontinue it. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
Some college students are passing on the beach this spring break. They're heading to the Gulf Coast to help build and rebuild after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. This Massachusetts senior says it's a lot different to see it in person.
This is the most surreal experience that I've ever had.
By the way, her name is Katrina. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
St. Louis, this is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour.
In the news this Friday, a St. Louis area man accused of abducting his daughter and leaving the country says he is not guilty. Arlen Hill appeared in federal court yesterday to answer to charges of kidnapping his then 17-month-old daughter in 2002. Hill and the little girl were found in New Zealand last year. Dozens of people are speaking out in support of immigration reform. St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay was among those who gathered yesterday at St. Louis City Hall to support immigration reform that helps reunite families and promote an earned path to citizenship. Slay says our country benefits from immigration.
Our country was created by immigrants. We became the wealthiest and strongest nation in the world after a surge of immigration near the turn of the century. Do we need to improve our immigration laws? Absolutely. Should we close our borders and build walls? Absolutely not.
Immigration reform advocates are concerned over the Border Protection, Anti-Terrorism, and Illegal Immigration Control Act. The legislation, which passed the House in December, would provide funding for 700 miles of border fencing. Opponents say it would also make criminals out of people who help domestic violence victims if the victim happens to be an illegal immigrant. Finally this hour, St. Louis-based A.G. Edwards is included in Training Magazine's Top 100 Corporate Education Programs for the sixth consecutive year. The magazine ranks A.G. Edwards number 26 in its annual survey. The financial services company is also one of 10 companies to be singled out by the magazine for having an outstanding training initiative. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by your local REMAX office. Heading home to your apartment, head home to your own house. Earn credit for the rent you pay today. Use your credits to own your home tomorrow. Go to RemaxHeadingHome.com, turning renters into owners. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Eastbound 255 Jefferson Barracks Bridge, road construction, two lanes are closed. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge is returned back to normal. Westbound 64 at 5570, no problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the 5570 all the way into Laclede. Look for everything to be on the move there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street on the ramps to the Poplar Street Bridge. That traffic congestion is cleared. In both directions, Skinker at Forest Park Parkway is closed due to Metrolink construction. Detours are posted, so use caution as you roll up to that intersection. Route 367 at Lindbergh, look for an accident there. Highway 21 at Sunridge, there's an accident reported with rescue. In both directions, Carondelet at 55. At Highway 55, look for road construction. Right lane is closed. And also, Shoto is closed from Vanaventer all the way to 39th Street to rebuild the bridges and roadway. The eastbound exit ramp from 64 on the Shoto Bridge is closed permanently. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through March, purchase four tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive three complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, cloudy throughout the morning, then becoming partly sunny by the afternoon, a high in the mid-40s. This evening, partly cloudy until early morning, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low around 30. Saturday, variable clouds with a high in the upper 40s. Saturday evening, mostly cloudy, a low around 30. And Sunday, mostly cloudy once again with a high in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 40 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 39. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call wants to make you a winner, and here's how. Every day when you hear the sounder, be the third caller, and you'll be registered for our Friday Because We Care giveaway. Each Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be choosing at least two names from those registered. The winners receive a Because We Care package, which might include a book by a recent guest, a coffee mug, a t-shirt, or other assorted goodies. You must pick up your package at the WGNU studios on Union within 7 days. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of the Wake Up Call family, where all you have to do to learn and win is listen.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM.
hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell the brothers, help me understand.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get to me. There is an article, a column, written by Bob Herbert, and it's entitled "Stop Bush's War." And it reads in part: by some estimates. According to a recent article in Foreign Affairs, quote, the numbers of Iraqis who have died as a result of the U.S. invasion has reached six figures, vastly more than those who have been killed by all international terrorists in all of history. Sanctions on Iraq probably were a necessary cause of death for an even greater number of Iraqis, most of them children. Bob Herbert goes on to say that not everyone agrees that Iraqi deaths have reached six figures. Bush gave an estimate of 30,000 not too long ago. That's probably low, but horrendous nevertheless. In any event, there is broad agreement that the number of Iraqis slaughtered has reached into the tens of thousands. An ocean of blood has been shed in Mr. Bush's mindless war, and there is no end to this tragic flow in sight. Bob Herbert goes on to say that Jeffrey Gentleman of the Times gave the following chilling paragraph. Quote, in Sadr City, the Shiite section in Baghdad, where the four terrorist suspects were executed, government forces have vanished. The streets are ruled by aggressive teenagers with shiny soccer jerseys and machine guns. They set up roadblocks, poke their heads into cars, and detain whomever they want. Mosques blare warnings on loudspeakers for American troops to stay out. And increasingly, the Americans have been doing just that. Everyone who thought this war was a good idea was wrong and ought to admit it. And those who think it's a good idea should get therapy. Bob Herbert goes on to say, last Friday and Saturday, a conference entitled Vietnam and the Presidency was held at the JFK Presidential Library. Discussions about the lessons we failed to learn from Vietnam and thus failed to apply to Iraq were pervasive. Some of the lessons seemed embarrassingly basic. Jack Valenti, who served as a special assistant to Lyndon Johnson, reminded us of how difficult it is, quote, to quote unquote impress democracy on other countries. And he noted something that the public and the politicians seem to forget each time the glow of a brand new war is upon us, that wars are inhumane, wars are brutal, wars are callous, and wars are full of depravity. Think Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo. Think suicide bombers and death squads and roadside bombs. Think of the formerly healthy men and women who have come back from Iraq paralyzed, without arms or legs or eyes or the full use of their minds. Think of the many thousands dead. Most of the people, writes Bob Herbert, most of the people who thought this war was a good idea also thought that the best way to fight it was with other people's children. That in itself is a form of depravity. Among those who played a key role in the conference was David Halberstam, the author of The Best and Brightest. In the book's epilogue, Halberstam wrote, among other things, quote, President Johnson and all the men around him wanted to be defined as being strong and tough, but strength and toughness and courage were exterior qualities which would be demonstrated by going into a clean and hopefully anesthetic war with a small nation rather than the interior and more lonely kind of strength and courage of telling the truth to America and perhaps incurring a good deal of domestic political risk. President Bush continues to assert that our goal in Iraq is quote-unquote victory. General Peter Pace, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, recently said on Meet the Press that things were going very, very well in Iraq. They are still crawling towards the mirage. It is time to give reality a chance. Bob Herbert. Brian, or Byron.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was listening to the article that you was reading from. You know, surprisingly, you know, the opposition to this war really didn't come greatly from the spiritual community. You know, and I really feel that, you know, abroad, internationally, in this land, there should have been a great opposition coming from the spiritual community to this war, since they read all the time, "Make war no more." The day before the war, before the American soldiers actually headed toward the capital of Iraq, a sandstorm came. And to me, I took that as a great, great warning to actually, I mean, this is really more spiritual than political. I took that as a great warning for the army of this nation here not to move forward and not to march toward Baghdad. But they ignored the warning and marched forward against all warnings from the heavens, even though the opposition to the war wasn't that great. And I think a lot of people remain silent leading up to the war, and today, afterwards, some, seeing the tragic result of the war, probably wish they had opposed the war before the United States Army actually marched forward. But I'm going to say this right here, and I'm going to let you go, Liz. I feel behind this war, the great unseen, which we have not seen in our lifetime, should be falling from the heavens. And it's just fulfillment of Scripture. And to oppose a war like this is the duty of anybody that feel that they are just or righteous person or fighting for a just cause. To oppose this war is the fight of humanity right now.
All right. Thank you, Byron.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And there is a gathering. The world still wants peace. There's an assembly to redirect our resources, stop the war, marking the third anniversary of the war in Iraq. That's this Sunday from 2 to 4 at the World Fairs Pavilion in Forest Park. There will be Remembering the Dead and the Wounded. There will be a sample of the justice that they seek. There will be health screenings, alternative energy exhibits, shelter the homeless booths, art, poetry, music, ethnic restaurants and food. You need to be at the World's Fair Pavilion in Forest Park this Sunday from 2 to 4. The world still wants peace. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
I want to mention one thing to you. Maybe you don't know this. A lot of people don't. Do you know that Roosevelt actually, when he made that agreement with Stalin, Stalin had killed more people than any other person after the Second World War? Did you know that?
I know that he was a great murderer. I don't know the specific numbers of it, and that's a monstrous thing, and a thing never to be repeated or even competed with.
That was the worst thing I've ever heard in my life, when he turned over all those people in all those countries to Stalin. And I don't know how many people he killed, but they say there were millions killed in that war.
Well, the worst, I mean, we can all get into a discussion about what's the worst thing that ever happened, the worst thing that we've ever seen. War is always wrong. It's always...
Absolutely.
War is absolutely always wrong. And this war that we're engaged in right now with between 30,000 or a million Iraqi people dead is a horrible, awful thing. Isn't it?
There's never been that many people killed over there.
So now you want to
30,000 maybe.
Now you want to quibble with
own, you know.
Now you want to quibble with numbers. You don't want to say that this war is a horrible, awful thing. Say it.
Every war is awful.
Say this war. Say this war.
This war is too.
All right.
All
very,
wars,
good. Very good.
But
very
I want to mention
good.
One thing to you. You know, you can't run him down forever.
Run who down?
Bush.
Bush is running his own self down. These are his
decisions.
No, he's
not. You wait and see. When this is all, they found a lot of papers, you know.
He started a war.
That's going to prove that he's going after the right thing.
Remember, war is a horrible thing, and he started one. Isn't that horrible? Doesn't that make him a horrible person?
Well, what do you want me to do? Let those people just kill one another the way that they would kill them?
You know what? Stalin couldn't have said it any better. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fat. War ain't about politics. War is a horrible, unacceptable thing. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fat. Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm confused on a definition of a word. The word is profit.
Uh-huh.
Now, profit is everything after you take away expenses and pay off everything, and what you got left in your pocket is profit.
That
right?
is correct.
So if a caller was to call up here and say, for instance, that, you know, the oil companies aren't making that much money, that water companies and gas companies and power companies are making a lot more in profit, would they be correct in that or not?
No, they would not be correct.
I mean, they're getting obscene profits.
And here's the thing. Water companies, most of them are state-owned or city-owned or whatever, and they're not designed to make profit. You know, and that's precisely why they're not in that market, because we don't want to put our water company into the hands of an Enron. It's not about making profit. It's about serving the community and serving things that people have to have.
Well, that definition has been bothering me for about a week now, because I heard someone say that, well, companies aren't making that much profit.
They've made more profit in their third quarter than any corporation has in the history of corporations.
Yeah,
that's profit.
I'd also like to comment on Iran, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, their prime minister, or whoever he is, was getting up in front of the world there. And, you know, I heard a lot about his speech that he made, but it seems like all the news organizations have left out one statement he kind of closed with. But he was talking about the United States and acting against them militarily.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing he said was, let the ball roll. In other words, this guy was saying, let the games begin.
Mm.
You know, and look where these people are taking us.
Mm.
And the same people who would be confused about the definition of the word profit, they better look and see what's going on in the Middle East and, you know, question what they're being told, because this is just like it was leading up to Iraq invasion. Everything is being set up by these people. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. 454-0400 is my phone number. Sam.
Yeah, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I just wanted to know, since this has been on TV lately, are there any qualified people in the city of St. Louis? I mean, dealing with what Chief Mohawk had expound on yesterday, he was saying
there are no qualified people in the city of St. Louis. He's saying exactly the same thing that Matt Blunt said, that nobody wants to live in the city. That's why he never came to the city to talk to anybody when he was running for office. Nobody wants to live in the city.
Because if you tie that in to, you know, the last class of police officers.
All white males.
And
that's the first time in 40 years that there's been a class that looked like that.
And he has pissed off the Mayor Slag, because the mayor said he didn't get a chance to vote on this. He had just walked out the room.
Well, whose fault? Here's the thing. Slay's lying. Slay's lying, or if he's not lying, then he can fix this. The fact of the matter is, it's kind of like George Bush. Remember what George Bush was saying about Republicans after this Dubai thing? When Republicans start saying, we can't let these Arabs own this. These Arabs are the people that... Remember all of the racism that was going on with the Dubai thing? And George W. Bush said to the Republicans, you know, that's racist. Well, baby, you let the dogs out. You the ones that let the dogs out. So now Francis Slay, now that they're doing exactly what he's been telling them they could do all this time, you let the dogs out. And so now the dogs are doing what the dogs have been doing, and all of a sudden now they bitten you, and you're supposed to say, well, you know, I didn't know you were a dog. You let them out.
I know he got it through this in there as a pitch.
Mm-hmm. That, either he's lying or you let the dogs out. This is what you have wrought. This is the energy that you have been bringing to this. You've been telling your behind was also not up in Jefferson City with the residency bill to begin with. You weren't advocating against it when you had an opportunity in Jefferson City. What, you in the bathroom then too?
Well, Liz, that's why I was getting ready to go with that there, because he said that might put the residency.
You think?
You think? Yeah. Because of him not being able to vote. Thanks
you
for
think?
Your time.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I see you on the lines. And just for your information, normally we have Healthy Futures at this hour. Healthy Futures will join us next week. Don't worry, they'll be back. And next week, is that the last Friday? No, it's not the last Friday. Dog, not the last Friday. So, but Healthy Futures will be back. Stay with me.
How mature in love would be. Be like a queen upon her throne.
Register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Donna Jones, and your children's academic achievement will come first if you elect me to the St. Louis Board of Education. I'll work to lower class sizes, reopen alternative schools, and restore the 25 accreditation points that were squandered by the current board. I'll work to reduce top administrative salaries, stop the extension of the school day, and provide bus service to all students. Make schools lead safe and act on the Kerner Report. Most of all, I'll work to include parents, students, and teachers as part of the policy-making process. As a former parent liaison at Dewey International Study School, I know the importance of keeping communication lines open between families and school, because today's students have the potential to be tomorrow's leader. On Tuesday, April 4th, join me in putting students' achievement first. Vote for me, Donna Jones, for the St. Louis Board of Education.
Paid for by the committee to elect Donna Jones to the Board of Education, Connie Davis, treasurer.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, this is Jamila Nasheed, candidate for state representative. Election time is in August, but tax time is now. So I have some very important information for our community. Did you know that under the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, senior citizens and disabled veterans can receive a check up to $3,000 or more? Monies that can be used for the high cost of prescription drugs, high utility bills, and the rise in price of gasoline. For more information about the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, call me at 409-5730 so that I can help you help yourself. If you have already filed your income taxes, don't worry. You still have time. Once again, call me, Jamila Nasheed, at 409-5730.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jamila Nasheed, State Representative for the 60th District. Felicia Brooks, Treasurer.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Goodbye, morning.
Hello, morning. Oh, missed you last night. My name is Liz Brown. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. Charles.
Yes, good morning, Liz. I came in kind of late in your show, and I'd like your opinion on the composition of the police review board.
The police review board. You're talking about the oversight bill that was just passed, board bill 69?
Well, the eventual board, whatever it's going to constitute. My question is, do you think it would be better if the board was composed of civil servants in terms of the investigative branches of the civil servants could look into alleged police misconduct, or do you think it should be done by political appointees?
I don't think it should be political appointees. I think they should be elected. I think that people involved on this board should be elected. It's very difficult to have the tentacles of government from institution to institution are long, and they reach into each other. A civil service organization, I can see that with the fire department, the way the fire department is going right now, it's simply because of the structure of the civil service appointed there, it still goes the way that Slay wants it to go. So I don't have any faith in a civil service type of a function, and I certainly don't have any faith in it being politically appointed. I'd rather have the people be elected to do that.
Do you think it would be at all a good idea for an independent agency within the city government to conduct investigations of police misconduct?
No, it's too political, Charles.
Okay.
It's way too political, or it's way too there are too many possibilities for political stuff to peter into it or to factor into it. People are already scary to do things that. They should be doing because of the politics involved in City Hall. So, no, I can't see how. It would kind of like if you were going to have lawyers investigating lawyers is not a good idea.
Okay. Well, thank you for your answer.
Oh, certainly. Take care.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call, John.
Hi. I've been thinking a lot about the police board, so I'd like to follow up that call again about civilian review.
Sure.
You know, everything looks like the focus is heading towards the police board on this decision. And so I sat down.
Well, and let's explain that for a second, John. The
okay.
way the fact of the matter is, Board Bill 69 passed out of the Board of Aldermen. It goes to Slay's desk, and if Slay vetoes it, then it comes back, and then there's another vote. And if Slay doesn't veto it, then the next step is it goes to the police board for them to vote on it. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And Slay has used language which I hadn't expected or really heard before. He said he would not sign it. But that's not the same as a veto because there is a clause in the city charter that says if he doesn't sign it for 20 days, then it becomes law.
Why didn't he veto it? He has the votes to override the veto.
Well, I think, you know, it's a political decision.
That's
he
right.
doesn't want to come out and say, I'm against this.
And
so he's trying to take this neutral, quote-unquote, neutral position, you know, and walk the line, but he's really sending a message to the police board when it goes over there. You know,
and also, it gets to what the last caller's question was about where the decision of this should be, if it should be in the hands of political people. Look at the politicalness of what Slay is doing with it. Slay has articulated that he doesn't like it, but yet politics is, he's using politics, and he won't express to us really what he feels, because if you're opposed to this, then veto it. Veto,
right.
Be a man, stand up, and veto it.
Well, this isn't the first time that he's taken one stance publicly and done other things behind the scenes.
They call
he's
that.
He's never been willing to say that he is opposed to this because he realizes that there's a strong sentiment in favor.
Well, they call that, John, throwing the rock and hiding the hand.
Right, exactly. Well, he's been doing that for quite some time on this issue. Make no mistake. And, you know, those of us paying attention have tried to expose it. You know, the most obvious thing was this terrible plan that he forced through the police board about 2 years ago, which was a cover, you know, it's a sham civilian review board with no powers.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to say, look, we've done it. And it was so badly received because it was so ineffective that he ended up having to withdraw it. But
So what is the status right now, John?
Well, we're into that 20-day period waiting to see exactly what the mayor does. And if he doesn't, if he signs or doesn't sign the bill, it will go to the police board. And I sat down and counted up. You know, the police board is almost all new faces on this issue. And I sat down and counted up since we started the campaign for a civilian review in 2000. There have been 8 presidents of the police board.
Wow.
And it's just been a revolving door over there. There's never really been a consistent person over there, or, you know, institution, consistent institution to negotiate with.
Mm.
And there have been shifting viewpoints as different people came in and out. Sometimes they've been in favor of the concept. Sometimes they've been strongly opposed. And so these members who are now, you know, given this authority to make a decision, they've not been a part of the whole consensus building process that's going on. They weren't in on the hearings. Alderman Kennedy held, I think, 5 public hearings. And experts came in from around the country to testify. Citizens talked about their experience with internal affairs. The police board's been not a part of any of that process. And suddenly, without, you know, almost in a vacuum, they're supposed to make a decision.
And what's also very troubling and very revealing, John, is that we have the newest member to the police board, the reporter. What's his name? Julius Hunter, the reporter.
Right.
It's my understanding that he has espoused an opinion about the board, but has he ever sat down and met about the oversight board? Has he ever sat down and met with your organization?
No.
Has he attended the hearings?
And no, he wasn't at any of the hearings.
And so,
I mean, he might have followed it casually in the newspaper.
But that's not following.
That's not the same at all.
And here's what I want to underscore with this, John, that I think is so important is here's a guy that's a former reporter. And he doesn't even bother to do any research, to talk to any of the parties, to attend any of the hearings, to read any of the stuff that we have out here, and to investigate any of this stuff. And he has an opinion about this. The most that this brand new baby member of the police board should be saying is that I haven't looked into this yet. I don't have an opinion on this. And instead, he says that it's good guys versus the bad guys, and I want to be on the side of the good guys.
And, you know, the lack of information shows when he made the comment like, well, this review board would be redundant because the police board is already a review board.
No,
well,
that's
we have spent
no, wait a minute, John, well, hold on for 1 second.
Yeah.
No, it's not, that does not express his naivete at all. What that shows is that the only people that he's talked to are the cops. That because that's exactly what their mantra is.
Right.
That's exactly what their mantra is. The only person the ex-reporter has investigated has been the on one side of this issue. And that's a shame.
He owes it to carrying out his responsibilities require that he gets more input than just that. You know, what I've noticed is that the police board, like I say, there's this revolving door and people come in with inexperience. It's kind of like the term limited legislators who rely on the lobbyists because they're so new to the system. Over there at the police board, they tend to rely on the police for information because mm-hmm. they're so new and inexperienced. But to carry out his duties, he owes it to get broader information than that. And we've spent years refuting just factually this review board would do very different functions from what the police board does. But no matter how often we refute the argument, the critics just keep it out there like a mantra and hope that people aren't paying attention. And obviously Julius Hunter hasn't been paying attention.
It's a sin and a shame that the ex-reporter didn't even bother to do anything. But he has no excuse. His job used to be investigating and reporting. He only listened to one side. He has repeated the press release of the critics.
Right.
That's all he's done. It's parroted the press releases of the critics.
Well, I don't really know his whole career, but when I saw Julius Hunter, he was reading the news. I don't know if he was really doing reporting.
He would say that he is.
He would
describe it as that. I'm with you on that, John. I didn't see it, but he certainly would describe his job as a reporter.
But, you know, I think that the police board needs to take a step back and educate themselves, and we're hoping that they will talk to the Black Caucus, talk to our organization, and get some information before they just follow Mayor Slay's lead here.
All right, John.
You know, negate this thing.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Earl?
Yeah, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
What Mayor Slay is doing is called straddling the fence. He doesn't want to make one side like he's choosing a side is basically what he's saying.
I think another technical legal term to be used to describe his behavior is punked. Stand up like a man. Make a decision.
You know, he's trying to make a political decision. You know, he still wants to be mayor again, you know, so that's basically what that is. And also, what good is the board if they make a decision the mayor doesn't like, and he can come back and make them overrule it or whatever? What about other decisions that's going to come up? Is every decision they make, he's going to have to approve? What is it?
Or if they make a decision that we don't like, then now we know that all Francis Lay has to do is go change it.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Thanks for your call. We're taking a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
All that I know, I thank my God. I've got something within me.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Washington. After being retired for only 6 months, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Richard Myers, has gotten a hookup with defense contractor Northrop Grumman. He's going on their payroll at a salary of $200,000 a year as one of 11 non-employee board of directors. Half of his salary will be in stock options. And all he will have to do is go to 8 board meetings all year long. 2 of them he'll be able to do over the phone. And Dateline Washington. Could there be something to global warming after all? Insurance companies must think so, because last week the insurance commissioners of all 50 states decided to establish a task force to look at the impact of climate change on the insurance industry and its customers. One of the speakers at the meeting was Robert Watson, the chief climate scientist at the World Bank and former head of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. He was taken off of that panel in 2002 because President Bush did not agree with his beliefs that global warming posed dangers to the environment. Last year's devastating hurricane season helped make 2005 the costliest year in weather-related natural disasters ever. And even more of a problem is a new report that came out showing insurance companies have had a 15-fold increase in loss payouts from weather-related losses over the last 30 years. The task force is going to review what action needs to be taken to keep the insurance industry from going broke from all the payouts it has to issue. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Updates.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only Black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, are you going to get washers, a dryer, television set? Where else are you going to be able to get your shop on the weekend? I'm telling you, the Sears at 3425 25 Union, they have some of the best deals in town. It's not just that they have everything that the other stores at the malls have. They also have special, unique deals to this Sears. So I know you need to buy something from your house for your house. Spring's coming up. Get your shop on. Get on down to Sears at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams. My name is Liz Brown. When you get there, tell them I told you to.
You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri, St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU Wake Up Call host Liz Brown. This National Forum for Black Public Administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri St. Louis and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Tune in Friday evenings from 8 to 10 to The Ken Dyson Show, where I take a unique look at individuals, places, and things. And you have a front row seat. The more you listen, the more you know. The more you know. The more you know. Right here on WGNU Radio Free, 920 AM.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown, and it is time, it's time to do some drawings. I'm going to get to the calls on the line, but first let me get to this drawing. Let me get to a drawing or two for the Liz Brown Wake Up Call Because We Care package. Can we? You hear that noise? We are rattling up, we're mixing up, we have your name in the package here, and we're going to draw some names right now. We're going to draw three names out of the hat, and the winner is, this name is Sandra Blair. Congratulations to Sandra Blair. You've won one of this week's Because We Care packages. And let me do it again. Let's see what we can find. Yet another winner. We've got Cynthia Jordan. Congratulations. Congratulations, Cynthia Jordan. Congratulations. One more winner. One more winner. We have Robert Kinney. Congratulations to our three winners this week. Our three winners this week. Don't worry if you didn't get in. You can try again next week because we'll have another drawing for our Because We Care Liz Brown Wake Up Call packages. And they are going to get some really cool stuff. They're going to get a George Bush Doesn't Care About Black People t-shirt. They're going to get a coffee mug with Liz Brown and the Wake Up Call on it. They're going to get all kind of wonderful, wonderful book. It's a wonderful, wonderful prize. Thank you all for joining up. If you didn't win this week, call in next week, and maybe you'll be hearing your name over the air to win a Liz Brown Wake Up Call Because We Care package. Thank you all, and we will be doing this again next week. Let me get to, and again, congratulations to Robert Kinney, Cynthia Jordan, and Sandra Blair. You won! Listen, folks, let me get back to the callers out here. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. Car phone?
Liz Brown.
Fill on the car phone.
You know, Liz, I'm slightly confused. I'm hearing that Iran is the single greatest threat to American security.
And what are you confused about?
Well, what happened to Korea?
Huh.
What happened to the war in Iraq?
See, that's why nobody should have taught you how to read. See? That's why nobody should have taught you how to read.
I'm sitting up here like, and I wonder, do people realize that Iran is one country?
Mm-hmm.
There's 21 million Iranians who are not Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many people know this.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go in there...
I wonder how many people know that even if they had the stuff to make the weapons, they're 10, 15, 20 years away from it. I wonder if they know that.
Yeah.
So there is no weapon of mass destruction anywhere in Iran either.
Thank you. But yet and still, these people and the propaganda machine is being built up right now. They're putting Iran all on TV.
That's fact.
They're showing pictures of, I saw a picture of the president of Iran in USA Today, I believe it was, on the cover.
Uh-huh.
And the man looks so cynical. I said, now all of the pictures of this man they got, this is the only one they could find.
That's right. Remember when they darkened OJ?
Yeah, exactly.
All right now.
Exactly.
Thanks for your call.
Have a good one, Liz.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Kevin.
How you doing, Ms. Brown?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I want to take that Kanye West statement a bit farther. I'm getting me a T-shirt made that the United States hates black people. You have a nice day.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Barbara.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Good. Did you ever follow up on the little boy down in Florida at the boot camp?
I know that his mother and father are going to exhume the body.
Mm-hmm.
That a coroner's report came out contradicting, obviously, that the boy did not die of any sickle cell related injury. He died because he was beat to death.
Right. Well, that's exactly what I just didn't know whether everybody knew that. And it was at Bay County Sheriff's.
That's right.
Boot camp.
That's
in Florida.
Right.
If you want to look
right.
it up, they have the beating video on there.
They have the beating video on, and I can't stand to watch it.
It's under his name. You just put in Marlon, another poor baby named Marlon. His name is Marlon Anderson. And you put that in, and it will come up. And then it'll have a link to hook you to the Bay County Sheriff's Office boot camp. That's the name of the prison where he was.
That baby was slung around like a rag doll. It was so heartbreaking. And there were so many heartbreaking things that took place in that video,
mm-hmm.
but one of the more heartbreaking things was when that nurse walked up. Medical person walked up.
Oh, yeah, you can beat him some more.
He's begging.
The mother's on that video. Now she's saying she knew that they were lying. She was sorry she had to disturb her son's rest, but she had to get to the truth because she knew they were lying. it came back that he was traumatized and bled internal from injuries, not from any physical.
Of course he did.
And she wants justice, and she wants everybody involved fired. That's all on the new video that's out there.
Here's
so.
The thing. Here's what Mama should be saying. Mama should be saying, no, I want them charged with murder.
Exactly.
I want them charged with murder. This is not a job firing thing. You get to kill somebody and all you're going to get is your lose your job,
well,
you go to jail.
Well, I think you lose their job, but you can check it out. My man's, I'm 62. I wanted to call for another reason. I called for that on the police violence thing, which everybody should have heads up on. If they could do a kid like that down
that's
there,
right.
They can do them like that up here.
That's right.
And on what Irene said yesterday about the getting the kids, go call Irene at 381-2430 if you're a grandmom, if you're unemployed. Let's get out there and pass some flyers out. I don't
That's
have
fact.
Anybody in the school
That's
system.
That's a fact. That's
but
a fact.
What's going on here is criminal.
Absolutely.
And we need to have a wake-up call and go ahead and call her. It's 381-2430. Call her and volunteer to do something like fold pamphlets, drive people around to deliver them. Do something.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Barbara.
You're welcome.
Have a great weekend. Congratulations to the winners, Sandra Blair, Cynthia Jordan, and Robert McKinney. Thank you so much. And we start it all over again on Monday. So if you didn't get a prize this week, that's okay. You have an opportunity next week. I will be back same time, same place on Monday. Until then, stay strong.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Alvinger.
Just for the parade.
She made the trip from Oklahoma to watch the New York City celebrate St. Patrick's Day the way we do here. The Big Apple Parade, one of the nation's largest, another is in Savannah, Georgia. At the White House, there were some visitors straight from the Emerald Isle. Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
There's a strong dose of politics mixed in with the shamrocks being presented by the Irish Prime Minister. President Bush is trying to encourage the Northern Ireland.